Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
All right, 6:10. Hi, it's Friday.
Yes, I'm going.
I guess you probably knew that. Maybe not. Maybe you're just waking up going, I don't even know what day it is. I don't know where I am. I can't help you with where you are. Hopefully it was fun. But, yeah, it's Friday. Man, the lake looks beautiful again this morning.
You had a great week, I tell you, weather-wise.
Well, it's been a really great week. And later this morning, a personal announcement.
Oh.
Well, we'll do it right at the end of the show, like 9:40.
You have to wait that long?
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough booking the people involved.
Oh, gotcha.
At 6:11, we'll get to the top six at 6. Joe, are we ready for it? Let's do it right now, right now, right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't get
your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
At 6:11, we begin with an apparent. Well, there's been another tragedy in the Kennedy family. Steve, what do we know?
All we know is that 21-year-old Saoirse Kennedy Hill has died, the granddaughter of Robert and Ethel Kennedy, the daughter of Courtney Kennedy and Paul Hill. She was enrolled at Boston College. Her body was found yesterday afternoon on the Kennedy family compound at Cape Cod. There's no word on the cause of death yet. There's a full investigation underway. So very few details in terms of the cause of death, but that's what we have this morning.
It's a very small town, and obviously the Kennedys are the primary residents, and they have a lot of oceanfront acreage there. And if you've ever been there, there's a private road that goes to their main house and things. And somewhere in, what was it, middle, late afternoon, I guess, the call came in. And there was some ambulance chatter about a problem there and an ambulance rolling up. And, you know, you start running through. This is the Kennedy's family has been through so much. You start running through the roster, right? You go, well, Rose is gone. Obviously, Joe is gone. And, you know, all of the older siblings are gone. So you would have thought it was one of Robert Kennedy's, what do you have, 10 or 11 kids? Because they all sort of gather there in the summertime. But a 21, 22-year-old, I mean, that's just crazy.
It is crazy. There's one other note, and of course, it's all conjecture at this point because we don't have any firm information on this, but Saoirse Kennedy Hill had written openly about her battles with depression in the past. So
you have
to think that maybe there was something there going on.
If you look at the Kennedy family story, it's just such a prime example of how money doesn't fix anything. And power doesn't fix anything. I mean, the tragedy in that family, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and almost that power and money makes it worse.
Yep.
In a lot of ways. The family always trying to get out of the spotlight, out of the limelight. Young kids growing up in all of that, trying to avoid all of the pressure that comes with that. It can be a rough life.
Grandpa Joe was the guy that started it all. Was
the patriarch, man.
Running with the mob figures of the early days. Spent a lot of time here. And because of that, could not realize his own dream of running for president. So his sons would be. And he actually wanted his oldest son, Joe Jr., to become president. And he was killed in World War II. I think if I'm right about this, I think it was his last mission. Like his last mission before he was coming home. They also had a daughter who, if she wasn't the oldest kid in the family, she was one of the top two or three who had emotional issues, who they tried an experimental lobotomy on.
Oh, yeah. They kept her institutionalized her whole life.
She went from a learning disabled special needs adult to somebody who couldn't function because of this lobotomy that Joe Kennedy was either convinced or convinced doctors they should do. So it's, and then of course you had the plane crash with JFK Jr., obviously the assassinations. And then the younger Kennedys, you had the drug issues, the overdoses, the skiing football accident.
Jackie with cancer. And
yeah, it's just incredible.
So many.
And aren't we right about the 20th anniversary of JFK Jr.? I mean, it's right around this time, I think.
Yes, yes, because they've been doing so many stories in People magazine about his life with, you know, his wife and the two other people that were killed on that plane.
Well, that's the thing. We forget about it all the time. Carolyn Bessette and her sister.
And her sister, yeah.
I mean, that family lost their two daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah, the so sad. Anniversary was on July 16th. It was 1999, his plane went down to Martha's Vineyard.
So we just passed 20 years.
And we just, and the 50th year of the... Ted Kennedy, you know, scandal.
Chappaquiddick.
Oh, Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 50th anniversary of that this year. But this this young woman, I can't, how do you pronounce her name?
Saoirse.
Saoirse. It's S-A-O-I-R-S-E. Mm-hmm. So Saoirse. She looks so much like Ethel. It's unbelievable. She's a beautiful girl.
Irish name, right?
Saoirse, yeah. Mm-hmm. Common spelling.
The common spelling in Ireland?
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard one to pronounce, but oh, she's gorgeous girl.
If anything comes up on the story as the show goes on, obviously Steve will tell you next. Trump says he's going to do 10% tariffs on another $300 billion of Chinese goods starting September 1st. The markets reacted accordingly. Around the world, it looks like it's even a little uglier than here, Steve.
It is. In Asia, off by more than 2%, almost 2.5%, and in Europe, 2% to 2.5%. The market day is still going on in Europe. This morning, futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street as well, with all of this. Down nearly 0.25% on the Dow already this morning, nearly a third on the S&P.
And next, Chicago July crime numbers show a decrease, which is very good news. Chicago police have released crime numbers for the month of July, and Thursday they show a 9% crime decrease compared to last year. Police say the latest numbers show they're making progress. Chicago police say they're seeing sustaining declines in violent crime statewide, with less murders, less robberies, less burglaries, less car thefts, all compared to the same time last year, which was January through July. Next, Katy Perry and her team must pay almost $3 million for allegedly copying a Christian rap song from her hit Dark Horse. We don't have the songs here, but the other day I think we all agreed that the Christian rap song and Katy Perry's song, and literally I don't have any horse in the game here, they don't sound anything alike.
So no, just like the beat at the beginning was about the only thing.
Yeah, how the jury found that unanimously that this was stolen, I'm perplexed.
Yeah, and is this jury so well, you know, knowledgeable in rap?
I don't know.
Because rap sounds a lot alike in many, you know, many songs, because it's quite monotone.
$2.78 million. The losing, or the winning side, I should say, the Christian rap artist was looking for $20 million, but he walks away with $2.78. All right, next. Youth football practice has been eliminated in the state of California, I should say limited, to 30 minutes twice a week. Now, this is the type of thing, and Andy Mazur's here for Dave Ennett. This is the type of thing. I will never, ever, ever judge a parent's decision to keep a kid from playing any sport, let alone a sport that could cause them injury or harm. I will also tell you that you cannot play football on two practices of 30 minutes a week.
No.
It's just not possible.
You can't get ready. You can't get your body ready. Even mentally, you can't get ready.
And as a kid, well, any level of football, you risk greater injury through your lack of preparedness by limiting practice to this amount. This has been Hampton's harangue for years. Hampton's point is, when you pillow fight the stars of the team and the guys that are going to take the most hits, they're not ready to take the most hits as soon as the flag drops on the season.
Nope.
So anyway, youth football coaches have been known to, according to the story here, toughen up kids by drilling to the point of exhaustion.
There's a happy medium.
Is that
there,
the new definition of exhaustion?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very easy to be the old man on the porch here and go two-a-days.
Yeah.
I've been gone for years. But two-a-days used to have practice in the morning, and then I'd ride my bike 6 miles home.
Right.
And then come back for practice in the afternoon.
Correct.
And if you were a freshman, you were the last in line at the apple-bobbing bin of water.
Right.
Where there was one ladle, and it started with the seniors and went down to you as freshmen.
Yeah.
And nobody had water bottles.
No.
Not even
no.
a thermos.
No.
Nothing.
No. No, and there's usually one lineman at the fountain who was super thirsty, would never get out of the way. But enough about me. And finally this. A raging debate on Twitter where user Natalie Jackson took it upon herself to officially find the government-issued names of residents of certain states. Here's a tweet. After about a dozen arguments about what to call residents of certain states, I finally Googled and found U.S. government publishing office-style manual. Have fun with this, Twitter, in designating the natives of the states. Here are the following forms. We should all know we are Illinoisans.
Mm-hmm.
Next door are Iowans. Just to the north of us are Wisconsinites. Look over there. It's Michiganians. And around the country, you know, it's pretty much what you would expect. I'm trying to, well, let me see if you know this. What would you call someone from Connecticut?
Connecticutian.
Connecticutian actually sounds right.
It sounds better than what it actually is.
It's Connecticutter.
A what?
Connecticutter.
Connecticutter?
E-R. Yeah, you're a Connecticutter.
Connecticutter. Yeah. That's bad.
Wow.
Indiana, obviously you people are Hoosiers. Kansans, Kentuckians. What do you call people from Maine?
Oh, Mainers.
Yeah, they're Mainers.
Yeah, Mainers. I heard
Mainers.
Oh,
sure, they're Mainers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hey.
Massachusetts?
Pepperidge Farm.
Massachusetts.
Wow, I never would have guessed that.
Massachusetts.
It's already too long. They should shorten it. Minnesotans make sense. Montanans make sense.
Well, how about a Wyoming? Guess that one.
Yeah. You, any idea?
Well, I just saw the list, so I got it.
A Wyomingite.
Oh, yeah. It's like a Wisconsinite, but
yeah,
a Wyomingite.
Yeah, Wyoming. Wyoming, yeah.
Gite.
You know what you are from Utah? You're a Utahn.
Wow.
Not a Utah. U-T-A-H-N.
You're a Utahn.
A Utahian.
I never would have got the New York one at all. That one's a tough one.
Oh, I knew that because I'm from there.
New Yorker.
Yeah, you're a New Yorker. Anyway, we could probably post this somewhere.
Those are quite fun.
Yeah.
Did you see the Hawaii?
Hawaii is the best.
What was Hawaii?
Hawaii. Wait a second.
Hawaii.
I thought I was Hawaiian.
Yeah, aren't you Hawaiian?
Yeah, you're
from
Hawaii.
A Hawaii resident?
That's a joke, isn't it? That's a joke.
That's the official government standard.
Right. Is this the list that they use when they're in the hockey locker room?
Yeah, right.
Can
they come up with nicknames?
Taser.
Why does Indiana's the only one gets a nickname?
So, I don't know. That's a very good point as well. South Carolinian, Rhode Islander, Pennsylvanian, Oreganian.
Yeah, because if you're calling people from Indiana Hoosiers, then you should call people from Wisconsin cheeseheads.
Well, you do if you don't live there.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and the truth is, Hoosier is either a identifier, a compliment, or an insult, yes, depending on your intonation.
Do Indiana nerds call themselves Hoosiers?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
But you could easily be an Indianite.
Yeah.
Indianite. Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Our Indiana resident in the newsroom says no.
They don't.
People from Indiana do not call themselves Hoosiers.
Oh,
what do they call
Pam.
Themselves?
Pam, what do they call? What do you call yourself?
No? Smart.
Smart, she says. Smart.
A person from Indiana?
People from Indiana are smart.
Indiana resident?
Yeah, right.
Indiana resident.
Lou, standing by. First caller could be you. 312-981-7200 if you want to ask Lou a question.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men. It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini joining us telephonically.
Back to the old...
This is why we never have him on a telephone. Are you there?
How are you doing there with the button?
Are you there?
I'm here.
I didn't touch the button, Weisenheimer. all right, before we get to Jill, the caller, and her question for you, as you know, Wallapalooza is this weekend.
Yeah.
And we always play, is it a Wallapalooza band or a band that I was in?
Oh.
So are you ready to play?
You sure?
The band is the Ballcocks. The Ballcocks. Is it a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
I just recently changed a ball cock. I'm going to say it's a band that you were in.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we only played in it for a few months, but it was a tribute to Lou. And Lou actually played the discharge head, which
right.
is a rarely used instrument.
You know, the thing with that band was it was up and down.
Yes, that's right. The ball cock is the fill valve that controls the flow of water from your water supply into your gravity-operated toilet tank. You impressed by that?
Very good. Well done. Well done.
Well, I can read. all right, so let's go to Jill here, and we'll play more Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in coming up for actual prizes. Hi, Jill.
Hi there.
Good morning to you. What's your question for Lou?
Good morning. Real quick, we're snowbirds. Lucky to be blessed to be going to Arizona for the winter season. I just don't know what to do with the house in Naperville. What should we have the temperature at? What about our water? Can you help with that?
Sure. I think that, one of the things you can do is shutting the water off. If you're going to be gone for multiple, weeks, then I would just shut the main water valve off. If you have a whole house humidifier, you're going to want to shut that off as well because that'll drain the system. Then if you don't have Wi-Fi with a Wi-Fi thermostat or cameras to keep an eye on something, there's a great item called the Winter Watchman, which is a $25 thing that you plug into an outlet and you plug a lamp into it and you put the lamp in the front window. And if you have friends that, are neighbors and friends, you put that lamp in there. And if the lamp turns on, it means your furnace stopped working.
Really?
You set it to, it has a thermostat on it, and you set it to, say, 40 degrees. And if the temperature drops, it engages the switch, and then you make sure the lamp is on, obviously, and you plug it in, the lamp will go off. And so then someone can visually say, uh-oh, over at Susie's house, wait, what's your name?
Jill.
Jill's house, the light's on. We better go call them or send somebody over. It's the best $25 you'll ever spend.
That's
it's called
cool
the
idea.
Winter Watchman.
Sounds great.
Jill, I actually have a greater concern for you. You know it's not winter yet, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's 110, 15 there now?
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't be leaving for a while.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave yet.
Yeah.
No.
I was just in West Palm Beach 2 days ago. It's hot down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's hot. It's just hot, no matter if it's dry heat or not.
So,
can I ask, what do you think about the thermostat? What should we leave our furnace at?
I would just leave that at like 55 degrees. You don't need to go any lower. You don't need to go any higher. 55 degrees. If you did the Winter Watchman, you set that at 40. So you'd be fine. That's plenty warm. If you have a lot of plants inside, if someone's going to come water them or anything like that, even that is a fine temperature.
Okay. And a thermostat that's a Wi-Fi thermostat?
Well, if a thermostat's Wi-Fi, then you don't need the Winter Watchman because you can check into it yourself, on a daily basis or something while you're away, or even have it send you an alert if for some reason there was an issue with the temperature.
Can you recommend one?
Oh, gosh. Ecobee is one I've used for a really long time.
I have it at my house. It's great.
Yeah, Honeywell makes it. Of course, the Nest, which is probably one of the most popular ones that are out there. I have one of the first-generation Ecobees that I put in years ago, and it still works great.
Yeah, it's gas-powered, but it still works.
Steam. It's steam-powered.
So, all right, Jill, congratulations on your life. I mean, it sounds like you've got it figured out, and thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. You have a great day, you guys.
There you go. And by the way, Jill wins herself a desktop indoor weather station, which is a tiny Tom Skilling. It's just like a 4-inch Tom Skilling who sits on a desk and tells you a forecast. Oh, Jill, for crying out loud, 55. Remember? That's what Lou said. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Go to AmericanWeathermakers.com. What is the must-have item other than your fancy light in the window at Ace Hardware this week?
I'm trying to think of what's hot these days. Today I'm actually talking about ways to trim up trees and bushes, and there is a brand new lithium-ion chainsaw, which is by Craftsman, which is really really cool. So it's a battery-operated chainsaw, which everybody's like, oh, I want a chainsaw, but that's a pretty aggressive piece of equipment. But in a battery-operated form, I think it's like the perfect thing for the average homeowner to do a little tree trimming. And I'll tell you what happens with a mini chainsaw like that. It's a lot like using a pressure washer. You can't stop. You, like, look for things to trim.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'll go over here, and I'll cut that. Oh, and I'll cut that, and I'll cut that. And you just keep going, going, going.
Do they make decent weed whackers, too? Because ours keeps crapping out, and my husband's getting really mad at the weed whacker situation.
There's a new line. There's a company called Ego, and it is a lithium-ion-based system. They've got a lawnmower, they've got blowers, they've got stream trimmers, and they're really, really nice. At first, when I saw them, like, in pamphlets, I was like, eh, you know, it's another kind of, you know, not so great. They even make a snow thrower. This stuff's amazing. It's super strong, and I've been pretty impressed so far by its reliability and durability.
It's Lou Manfredini. Any questions on staff before we let Lou go? I'm going to take that silence as a no.
That was my question, because I'm tired of hearing about weed whackers.
All right, I know you got to get on TV. We'll talk to you later.
Love you.
There you go. Love you back. That's Lou. He's Lou Manfredini, and he is Channel 9, which is what we're referring to in the television situation. Your headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Lollapalooza underway today. Why don't we blow out some prizes here? Let's play Lollapalooza, a band I was in a few times here before 7 o'clock at 312-981-7200. That's the telephone number. Andy, are you ready to play? You're a former disc jockey. You should know this stuff.
Yeah, but the music has kind of passed me by a little bit, so you may slip one past me here.
Okay. Again, the concept is this is either a band playing at Lollapalooza or one of the many bands I was in, because apparently I was difficult to work with.
I find that difficult to believe.
The band is two guitars, a drummer, and a lead singer. Two guitars. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for two guitars, a drummer, and a lead singer, which we thought was a really creative band name when we saw it on the Lollapalooza list or when we made it up.
I could just imagine the T-shirt and how much space that would take up. I'm going to go Lollaband.
It's incorrect. It's a band I was in.
Darn.
And that's why T-shirts? That's why we had to break up, because there was not enough room on the marquee to hype the band. You would just say,
makes sense.
Two guitars, a drummer, and, you know, so you couldn't get the lead singer.
Yeah, it would just chop it off.
So, you know, you got problems, is what I'm saying. Let's go to Pam. Pam is in Parkridge. Pam, are you ready to play?
I sure am.
All right. The band is Age, Sex, Location. Age, Sex, Location.
A band that we're in.
Are you sure that's your answer?
Yes. My final answer.
Tough break. Age, Sex, Location is a band playing at Lollapalooza, I believe, on Sunday. And I know you're bitter about it. No, I'm going to get you the exact time and stage.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Let me go over here to Dennis. Dennis is in Wheaton. What are you doing today, Dennis?
I'm working this morning.
And what's that? What's your job?
I'm assistant general manager at a paper company.
Oh, okay. The band is, what, you want to plug the paper company? I can make it my favorite paper company, official paper company of the show.
Yeah, it's Lewis Paper.
Lewis Paper. Super Joe, make a note of that. Lewis Paper, the official paper company of the Steve Cochran Show.
Noted.
All right.
Is it like The Office, I wonder? Because it's a paper company?
Kind of.
Yeah. All right, here we go. The band is San Holo. San Holo.
San Holo.
See what we did there? Han Solo, San Holo.
Oh, clever.
That was a band you were in.
This is the first time people have missed. It must be Friday. It's the end of the week.
It's a Friday. Yeah.
San Holo's a Lollapalooza band. Thank you, man. I appreciate you listening.
I blame me for missing the first one. I got to stop to a bad start.
Steve and Schaumburg, are you ready to play?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm ready for some Lollapalooza trivia here.
All right. Lollapalooza band or a band I was in, the Lazy Boys. And by the way, it's B-O-Y-Z, the Lazy Boys.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad that you clarified that for me.
It does make a difference, doesn't it?
You know, there are some crazy band names out there, but you know what? I think that's a Steve Cochran original.
Ding, ding, ding!
That's exactly right, my friend. Because when you think lazy... congratulations. You are a big winner. Hold the line. Super Joe, you want to give them apt cards?
Sure.
Apt. Pleasing people since 1936. Andy, apt, a band I was in, or a Lollapalooza band?
Neither.
Oh, that's exactly right. It's a store.
Ooh, see, you tried to trick me.
All right, so keep those calls coming because we'll play more of this in a second here, and I'll give away a pair of tickets to an evening with Bernadette Peters at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, Saturday, August 17th, one night only event. With Broadway royalty and the star, The Jerk.
Yeah, and I seem to remember her from The Muppet Show.
She's great.
I love Bernadette Peters.
Me too. She's great.
Awesome voice.
Get your tickets at ParamountAurora.com, and we'll play for that next, 312-981-7200.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's why I like Kevin Mazur, and he plays this himself.
I tell you, it's been a long time, too.
He's a one-man band.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. That is the telephone number if you'd like to play Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. Still to come on this show, Bridget Gaynor will join us. We love Bridget. And Peter Greenberg is back from Botswana, and that's a statement I don't say very often. And by the way, back from Botswana is neither a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. I was offered a gig with Back from Botswana, and I turned it down.
Yeah, that'd be a better T-shirt, I think, than the two drummers, the guitarist, and the lead singer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're exactly right. Later on, Ross Cochran will be on the show today.
Very cool.
At 9:40. And Melissa Villaseñor. You know that name?
Why do I know that name?
She's on Saturday Night Live.
That's why I know that name.
And she's working Zany's this weekend. Zany Chicago downtown. Wells, the original. And she'll be in later this morning to talk as well. 312-981-7200. We can play Lollapalooza band or a band I was in coming up here in just a second. Andy, give me a brief, if you would, on why the Cubs suck on the road.
Yeah, there is really no logical explanation for any of this because, generally speaking, when a team is in a tailspin, it's because they're pressing at home, not on the road. Too talented of a team to be this pathetic on the road. And that, I mean, you can say pathetic because they're 0-9-1 in their last 10 road series.
And they really have the worst record.
The worst road record. Yeah, they only have 21 wins on the road.
So in the National League, there's nobody worse than
nobody
the Cubs
worse. Nobody worse.
So everybody wants the Cubs to come to town.
Everybody wants the Cubs to come on in and, you know, make very hospitable.
How do you explain a team with that kind of roster talent being that bad?
You know, continuity, and I think sometimes, and I hate to say this because it's such a cliche in sports, but sometimes you need another voice, a different voice. And I'm not saying they're shutting down on Joe Maddon because I think Maddon protects them better than a lot of managers do. But sometimes you see those expectations, things don't work, and you start to press, and things kind of snowball.
Short of a World Series or even a World Series win, is he done?
You know, I think he might be. I think he might be regardless. I just don't see, if they haven't talked to him by now.
It does seem weird.
It does seem very strange.
It also seemed weird that they made a deal for Joe Girardi as a backup catcher the other day. So I did not see that
coming.
Something
weird about that, too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. And meanwhile, on our side of the town, you got your Chicago White Sox playing tonight. When?
They're at 5:30 pre, a 6:05 first pitch in Philadelphia. Sox have struggled, as we've noticed, out of the gates here in the second half.
Struggled, stunk.
Yeah,
you know,
it's been tough. I mean, that's an offensive situation right there. That there's some holes in the lineup at this point, but they're young players. They're still trying to develop their skills at the big league level, and that's it seems like an excuse to say, but I'm watching it every day.
Yeah. Does Rick Renteria ever take him out to Dairy Queen or anything after the game?
Yeah, sometimes, they get
the players' moms bring treats.
Well,
they're very young this
year. Yeah,
team.
It's more like the outing, and you get the little plastic batting helmet with the ice cream inside of it, and you can keep it.
Those are good days.
Yeah.
Remember those?
I love those days.
Eva's in Roselle. Eva, andre, epa, epa, ea. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. All right, Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. Hey, nice haircut. Is that a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
I think that's a band that you are in.
Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely right. That is a band I was in. And by the way, not a great band. Not a great band. We did one song. That was the only thing we ever got down. It was the Flock of Seagulls hit. Remember the guy with the Donald Trump hair?
Oh, he was great.
Yeah. So, Eva, you're a big winner. And, Joe, what are we giving our winners this morning?
We're going to give them Apt gift cards, but Eva will also get a pair of tickets to an evening with Bernadette Peters at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Wonderful.
By the way, don't mention two guitars, a drummer, and a lead singer, because she was supposed to be in that band with us. So it didn't end well for us. All right, Eva, hold on. Thank you for that. It is 6:58. Steve's next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 7:10 now, back on the Steve Cochran Show. How about Uber for swimming pools? You heard about this?
I have not heard about this.
It's kind of Airbnb in the water. Lounging in a pool is supposed to be relaxing. But unless you have a private pool, kind of to yourself, it's maybe not so much relaxing. That's why it's good to have your own pool. But you can't, you don't own property to have your own pool. You know, the money to have your own pool. But how about your own pool for the afternoon? Thrillist.com reports that a company called Swimply, S-W-I-M-P-L-Y, Swimply, is doing an Airbnb Uber-like service. Call them up, get a pool. It lets property owners rent out their pools by the hour to people who want to take a dip. Hourly rates are higher than what a day pass at your local public pool might cost, but you get to pull to yourself. Now, it's a one-hour minimum, so if you're planning on...
1 hour?
1 hour minimum. Minimum.
Well, if you don't eat first, you'll have to wait till the cramps subside.
Yeah. Well, and also if you're trying to jump in the pool for a quickie, you probably won't need it for an hour, but depending on what you're looking for, you can find a pool to fit your needs. A quick search of the L.A. area brings up pools ranging from $25 for an hour to $150.
I don't get why it's only an hour.
No, minimum.
Oh, minimum an hour. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
The more luxurious options include hot tubs, saltwater pools, and some owners even offer backyard amenities like grills and fire pits, and you can actually order up some meat if you want as well.
I would check for cameras.
Now, if you want to bring along friends, you can tag along, split the cost. Swimply is based in New York, operates in 20 states. Including Florida, California, and Texas. I've not checked their website. Andy, would you do that now?
Yeah, I'll check it right now.
Swimply, S-W-I-M-P-L-Y. I don't know if they're operating in Illinois or not. The website allows you to quickly search for pools by location and availability for property owners who don't use their pool every day and looking to make some cash. Swimply makes it easy to create an account and start letting strangers jump into your pool.
Yeah, so as of right now, it looks as though they are Miami Beach, Houston, Texas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Arizona, and of all places, Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, big pool community.
Yeah.
Huge pool community.
And what about liability? I can see a problem. Accidents happen in
pools.
I don't
know. How does Airbnb do that? Like, if you go to an Airbnb and you murder someone, it would seem like that would be a problem for the homeowner.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how that works. But anyway, Swimply wants you to know this is 20 states. They only have 4 locations listed.
Actually, no. I just tried to search Chicago, and a couple of things did come up. A couple in the suburbs.
Which burbs?
One in Glenview, one in Lockport, and one in Batavia.
Okay.
So the one in Batavia is 75. The one in Lockport is 150, and the one in Glenview is 60.
Any of them got a slide?
You know what?
For 150, you better.
No, I don't see a slide on the 150. They've got little fountains in theirs and the little outdoor lounge chairs and 16 feet by 48 feet saltwater pool. It's heated.
Oh, well, saltwater is more expensive.
Yeah.
The sharks? Sharks probably actually.
Does not say, that would make it 175.
Look, I don't own a pool, so allow me to be judgmental without knowing what I'm talking about. I don't want strangers in my pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if a bunch of kids are coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some nasty grown-ups that I wouldn't want to
Well, that too. You don't know what's going to be happening.
Got to double up the chlorine.
But, you know, people that do have pools, they don't get used enough. That's the complaint I hear from people that do have pools. You know, they tend to just spend so much time at maintenance that they don't use the pools enough to, you know,
Don't you accept that, though, when you get a pool that it was a bad idea and you're going to lose money?
Yeah, unless you build it yourself after you move in.
And I always hear that the amount of wildlife that dies in pools is just astronomical.
Oh, that's a good point.
People are always pulling stuff out
of their pools. Yeah, the filters can get nasty.
And maybe you got a pool hoping to get more friends, and it just didn't work out, so now you're like looking for them to pay you and also be your friend.
And it's hard to sell.
So it's a service for lonely people? Meeting people in the water?
Exactly.
That's why I said, better check for cameras. You know? These people could be like taking
perverts?
Yeah, who knows?
I'd say, doing more research
on... I think pervert pool rental is a different company.
Doing a little more research on the Lockport location. They also include... 16-foot bench seats in the pool. They also have a granite bar, full-size fridge, Bluetooth sound system, dish TV. They have bathroom and a toilet and urinal couches, whatever that is, additional seating.
Back up.
It says urinal couches.
What is a urinal couch?
I have no idea. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, that's another thing. Facilities.
Okay, here we go.
To the bathroom.
Here we go. This is a very bad punctuation. So this is they're missing a comma. I'm figuring this out right now. It says bathroom with toilet and urinal. There should be a comma. Couches for additional seating.
Oh, jeez, Andy.
Well, yeah, that would be I'm reading it here, and it looks like it's a urinal couch, but there's no such thing.
I literally just looked up urinal couches, and I couldn't.
Oh, you don't want to know? I don't want to know what you found.
That's not a band I was in either. The urinal couches. I really think that should never be invented.
Yeah,
Someone thinking now, well, what can we do with that?
100%.
All right, so that's Lockport, Batavia, and what was the other one?
Glenview.
All right, so if you're in the area and you want to rent one of those pools, go to Swimply, sign up, and go rent one of the pools.
It's a good name, though.
It is a good name. If you have kids that are already driving you nuts, this might be a great idea. Right?
Yeah.
You put kids in a public pool with 900 kids running around, you can't keep an eye on your kids. You get them in one pool. Yeah.
Dan, especially, like in our town, the other pool just closed. They tore it down. So we only have one pool in town. And, you know, everybody has to go there. So I think it's a great idea, actually.
I think we're running out of things to rent out.
Yeah.
You know, you can rent my car. You can rent my pool. You can rent my bedroom.
Yeah.
What do we got left?
She shed.
Can rent my she shed. Andy, from the people that brought you urinal couches. 6-3-0 texter says, what about bidet beds?
Yeah, good point.
You see how we're doing that?
Yeah, I know. That's
bidet
a good
beds.
That's a really good one.
How disturbing would that be? You lay down and a giant splash of water hits you in the face or the butt or somewhere else.
Yeah, these people in Lockport need to punctuate their little comment thing here better. As soon as I read it, I knew it was wrong.
Another texter says, if they don't include urinals, where are they going to pee while they're in your backyard pool?
That's a very excellent point. And you know, this Lockport, I clicked on more details, and they actually show you pictures of the bathroom itself.
New York Daily News, no help this morning. This is actually a story from June, but somebody is nice enough to pass it along. People getting sick from fecal parasite in pools. And by the way, that wasn't a band I was in either. 312-981-7200, you texters.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
All right, Andy, you know how this works. Highlighting somebody who is really changing the world. And that's why Stacey Jackson is the most valuable person on the planet. How about that for pressure, Stacey?
Love it.
Stacey's the executive director of Chicago Lights, fighting poverty by providing social services, job training, tutoring for all ages. How'd you get into this business?
Well, interestingly enough, I was working across the street from our offices at another radio show that doesn't exist anymore.
What
and
show?
I was planning to go to school for social work.
Wait, what show was it? What show were you working on?
Well, I was working at the Loop radio station.
The old Loop?
Mm-hmm.
When were you at the Loop?
Back in the day.
Well, when was that?
In 1995.
95. Where was I in 95? I wasn't at the Loop yet. I worked at the Loop like 98, 99. No, 97, 98. I just missed you, is my point.
Well, we worked across the street. Sorry I missed you.
What show were you working on?
Well, I was in the sales department, actually.
Who is the most annoying personality at that point?
Well, I can't say that.
Freaking.
I can't choose.
You know what? I know that that's true. All right, so Stacy, across the street, Chicago Lights. And you wanted to get involved right away, or you had to be sold on it?
Oh, no. I fell in love with Chicago Lights right away. There's just so many good things happening here, so many beautiful people doing good things. You know, in this world where we hear so much bad news, there's really more good happening than bad.
Now, this tutoring program, if I have the numbers right here, 93% of high school seniors who participated in the program graduated?
Exactly. And, and most of them go on to college.
It's a big deal. That's a world changer right there, just that.
Yeah, that's right. It's just really fabulous to be part of an organization that is changing the trajectory of people's lives.
What are you doing for, wow, suddenly I got emotional. What are you doing for summer learning loss, you know, where kids kind of forget everything they learned over the course of the 12 weeks of summer or whatever it is?
So we have a 6 weeks program that works with students in first through ninth grade exactly to prevent that summer learning loss and to keep them engaged over the summer. In the mornings, it is literacy and math skills, and in the afternoon, it's dynamic arts programming. So they're learning singing, dance, digital music, drama, visual art. It's amazing. Later this afternoon, we're having a show where they're going to show off everything they've learned over the past 6 weeks.
No, that's great. And the Elam Davies Social Services Center is where adults can go when they need the basics of life, right?
Right. So in Chicago, there is over 1.2 million people living below the poverty line, and over 80,000 of those Chicagoans are experiencing homelessness. So we are a safe refuge for people to come receive some, you know, vital things like clothing, food, toiletries, and referrals. And we hope to engage them more deeply in case management to work on their goals and help them reach greater stability.
Well, I'm excited for you because you're doing a great thing and you really are working to change the world. Thank God you got out of show business. Could you imagine? You could be one of us.
You're doing good things too, Steve.
Oh, come on. Stacy Jackson, the executive director of Chicago Lights, fighting poverty and doing it one day at a time. And have fun at that deal this afternoon. How do we help you?
Well, I would love for people to go to our website at www.chicagolights.org and just get engaged with us. There's so many ways to volunteer with us, to donate, to come to our events. In fact, we're having a really fun event that is a toast to tutoring, our oldest program, our largest program, and we're going to just celebrate it and support it and make sure that 440 young people can continue to receive the tutoring and mentoring that they need to thrive.
Thanks for doing it. Get back to work. Stop talking to me.
Have a great day.
See you later. Happy weekend. That's a good person right there, Andy.
Absolutely. And it can't get any better than that. Trying to help out and not only with poverty, but put people back on the right track.
They have an urban farm, but 500 pounds of produce was grown on site by high school and young adult workers while they worked to learn resume building skills. We don't know if Orion went over and said, well, that looks good. 728. Let's come back to the headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Nobody knows more about travel than Peter Greenberg. He's been on the run from the law for years. Doesn't really have a home. Just goes from continent to continent. But he is absolutely the best, and I've been happy to call him a friend for years. Peter Greenberg, good morning.
And good morning. Thanks for that introduction.
Well, there's very few friends of mine, could I say, that I could say as I did earlier today. Peter Greenberg coming up, he's just back from Botswana. You can't say that about a lot of people.
Yes, and actually it was a nice long flight. Botswana to Johannesburg, then up to Doha, and then back to New York. So about 33 hours in the air.
All right, so let me ask you about something that happened to me a couple weeks ago, because it's a universal experience, and I think people can learn from this. I was trying to get to my high school reunion in upstate New York. It starts with a flight to Syracuse, New York. We had major thunderstorms roll through, and as you've taught us for years, you get a major airport like O'Hare shutting down, it shuts the country down. So the dominoes start to fall. So at that point, you're not getting an airline person on the phone. I talk to American Express Travel. They inform me about these super secret numbers the airlines have when you have troubles. So eventually I get on the phone with United, and they said, yeah, it doesn't look good for you. So I end up booking a new ticket with American. So now I'm going on American to Rochester. Okay, Syracuse is central New York. Rochester is western New York. I get to the airport 10 minutes before we board. They cancel the Rochester flight. All right, I'm back in line now. Now they're sending me to Buffalo. I'm working west, Peter. I'm going to be in Cleveland and all the way back to Chicago by the time this thing's done. So I'm talking to I'm in line. I'm rebooked for a 7 o'clock flight. This whole thing started at 11 o'clock in the morning. A 7 o'clock flight for Buffalo. They canceled the Buffalo flight. I said, all right, there's no chance I'm going to get there by tomorrow night. This weekend shot. What do I do to get my bags back? And I said, yeah, we can't help you. They loaded my golf clubs on the Rochester flight. My other bag was still at O'Hare. But since they were checked together, I couldn't have them back separately. Not, I don't know, making up rules while they go along. I don't know. And I said, I thought you couldn't put bags on an airplane without knowing the passengers on an airplane. So anyway, my golf clubs had a nice trip to upstate New York and back. And it took 2 days to get my luggage back. So number of questions here. When your flight gets canceled, what rights do you have to use that ticket again, and how should you handle it?
All right, question number one for you is, your first mistake was going to your high school reunion.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And by the way, it worked out okay, because the next morning, Jimmy Buffett was a surprise guest in studio, and he sang, and I would have missed the whole thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Anytime weather plays into it, the airlines are off the hook in terms of compensation, or their contractual obligation to get you where you need to go, mm-hmm. because it's an act of God. Mm-hmm. The time that you got delayed going to New York, I was actually in New York that day trying to get to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I got on the plane. The plane left right on time at 6:30 in the morning, and an hour and a half later, Chicago closed. We were running out of fuel, so we got diverted to Indianapolis and sat on the ground there for 3 hours. Therefore, my meeting was never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just needed to go back to New York. You're going to love the conversation that I had. So I call American Airlines and say, okay, clearly I'm not getting to Chicago. I've wasted the whole day. Just get me back to New York. I'm going home. And do I get my money back? And they said, well, you qualify as a TIV. I love it. The airlines have a code for this. Do you know what TIV stands for?
Nope.
It actually applied to you as well. You ready?
What is it?
Trip in vain.
That's tremendous.
I love it. I mean, I knew all the codes. I'd never heard that one. And so, yes, I did get my money back. They even refunded the taxes. I got to live for another day. In the situation with the baggage that you bring, that you talk about, the old days following 9/11, every airline said that they had to positively match bags with passengers, or they wouldn't dispatch the flight.
Right.
So you and I both were on flights where there were bags on planes belonging to passengers who were not on the plane.
Right.
And they literally held the plane at the gate while they removed the bags.
Right.
On high profile international flights, they do it all the time. On domestic flights, they sort of drop the ball, and they're not always doing it.
So it's a very casual rule now.
The airlines will tell you that they will deny this. The fact is, that's exactly what's happening.
All right. Now, here's the other piece of this when it comes to the bags. The bags can be delivered. You don't have to go back to, in my case, O'Hare to get them. However, you're at the discretion of when they're delivered. I got a call at 11:45 at night. Now, I'm still up. This is Friday night or Saturday night. I got a call at 11:45 at night, and a guy goes, yeah, I'm 5 minutes from your house. I'm bringing you back. Hey, you're five minutes away. What if I'm in bed?
But here's the thing. And people don't realize this. The airlines outsourced those deliveries to a guy named Vern in an old Econoline van, okay? So what you need to do is, when you're on the phone with them, you need to get a first and last name of the bag person that you're talking to and say, look, we know you're going to outsource this, but I want to be first on the list. I don't want to just be on a van making rounds, and the guy shows up at 2 in the morning. It's happened to me. And you know what? If you scream a lot or you're nice enough, they'll do that. Otherwise, you're getting that call at 11:45 at night.
Yeah, and the other one showed up 2 days later, so I got my bags back. Now, The confirmation codes for both tickets exist. If anybody listening went through this, and I'm sure there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people who did and are wondering the same thing, what do you do with that ticket? I mean, you're going to pay a change fee if you try to use it down the road, right?
No, that's not true.
Oh, it's not true.
On that situation, the PNR, meaning the passenger name record, that six-digit or six-letter and digit confirmation code, is good for a year. And you can use that ticket, unless there's a special endorsement involved, which I don't think there is, you can use that ticket or the value of that ticket for the next 365 days.
All right, so you're not getting whacked by that.
No.
In addition to that, because, you know, I like my leg room, I couldn't get up front, but I upgraded to extra leg room. Do I get that money back?
Yeah, because you didn't receive the service. But here's another thing. If the airline charges you to check your bags, which every airline does these days, with the exception maybe of Southwest, and then they don't deliver the bags, or they don't deliver them in time, you absolutely get that money back. You just have to scream for it.
All right, so does it make more sense, or is it an individual basis to go ahead and try to get the refund right away or hold the ticket?
Depends on how often you fly.
Right.
If you're like me, hold the ticket because you're going to use it. But by the way, there are a lot of people out there listening to the show who may only fly two or three times a year,
right?
And that's money that you're not getting to use. The airline's getting an interest-free loan from you. Ask for a refund because this wasn't done by you. It was done by them.
And it used to take forever to get a refund. Does it still?
Not as much, especially, look, most people pay with a credit card. You'll get it back between 5 and 8 business days. They're usually pretty good about that.
Well, that's good. All right, a lot of knowledge there. So I hope that helped people because, as Peter said, it started with going to my high school reunion. But that's why those confirmation codes are so important. Keep them, make a note of them, and you'll be able to use them down the road. Separate question, rental cars. At one point, I was looking at a one-way rental to try to get to. Oh, and by the way, if I could just back up for a second. I violated Peter Greenberg rule number one for 2019, and really the last 5 years. He's told me, he said, dummy, and he's right about this. He said, dummy, send your bags first. Don't put them on the airplane. Send them ahead of time. There's a great golf club delivery service called Shipsticks, for instance. But there's a million ways you can send your bags. And I have I've done it 100 times. I didn't do it this time, and what a surprise, I got burned. So that's lesson number one. All right, one-way rental cars. Because what I was going to do is keep the back end of the original ticket, because the weather on Sunday would have been fine, drive to New York and leave the car. Is there a good way, an efficient way, any way, to do a one-way rental and not get hosed?
There is, but I go back to my original question. How badly did you want to go to this reunion? Okay, bottom line is this.
You got to find out who's alive.
Okay, well, you know you are, so that's a good thing. That's a start. But in this situation, rental cars are dealt with like flocks of migrating birds, and each rental car inventory is different. So if all of a sudden Chicago has too many cars and they need to get them out, then you'll get a great deal to drive them out of Chicago to many different states. But you have to ask for it. They don't necessarily offer that information. Normally, on a one-way rental, you're going to get hit with a drop-off charge, and that could be, you know, $200 to $300, depending on where you're driving it to. This especially happens, by the way, with people, even with the best of intentions, who go overseas and rent a car in France and want to drop it in Belgium. Whoops, not a good idea, because you're going to get hit, because everybody controls their inventory in a different way. But you have to ask, and one of the things you can ask for, and they will never publicize this, and Hertz does it, Avis does it, National does it, ask them if they have a drive-away deal. And what a drive-away deal is when they're overstocked with cars in Florida and they need to get them to New York, ask for a driveway deal. They'll rent you the car for like $10 a day as long as you agree to drive it for them out of the state because they don't want it anymore. But they're not going to advertise that. It's individual locations have that. You just got to ask.
Driveway deal. There's your keywords. And please and thank you never hurt. All right. So generally speaking, the summer times you don't have as much trouble as the winter times traveling. But when these thunderstorms roll through and they shut down Atlanta or they shut down LaGuardia or Kennedy or Newark or they shut down O'Hare, it should be no surprise that the entire country's done, right?
Right. Because remember, weather is not one-dimensional. If you're in Chicago and New York closes, well, your flight may not operate from Chicago even if the weather's sunny. So, you know, you need to get a great weather app on your phone. There are a number of them out there that will tell you not only where the weather is where you were flying from, but where the weather is where your plane is coming from. And if your plane's not coming, you're not going. And remember, there's also great apps called like Flight Radar 24. There's Dark Sky. There are a number of them out there that are very easily accessible and will give you that information in many cases ahead of the reservations guys you're calling at the airport, where you're actually going to tell them what's going on.
The backdoor numbers at the airlines, very handy to have. Never had them before. Have them now for a couple big airlines. I don't want to say which, but they rhyme with United and American. And you call, and it says, you know, generally speaking, on a bad day with weather, you're not going to get a human being first try. But it says you're 400th in line. It's going to be 45 minutes or whatever. And I was amazed, even on a really bad day, they were within 5 minutes of the number on the automated system.
Yeah, you know what? Those systems, I have to say, in principle, I hate them, but in a situation like that, they actually work.
Right, because otherwise you're just sitting on hold and your head's exploding.
Right.
All right, hey, here's another question I didn't plan on asking. How was Botswana?
Amazing. I mean, if anybody knows where it is, it's immediately north of South Africa. They've got the largest herd of elephants in the world. They're right there in the Okavango Delta, the Chobe River. They also have the Kalahari Desert. Amazing. And, you know it because I've done it on your show before. I do a series on public television right there at WTTW called The Royal Tour. I was just over there meeting with the president because that's going to be our next Royal Tour that we're shooting.
Oh, excellent.
The Royal Tour of Botswana with the president.
And what's the political situation there?
Very stable. They have a great economy. They are a very healthy country in Africa. Not every country in Africa can say that. There are 54 of those countries in Africa. People don't realize how many countries make up that continent. But Botswana is a good success story.
Had you been there before?
Yes, many times. And I encourage people to get out on one of those safaris on the river where you're in that dugout canoe and watching these amazing herds of elephants. It's staggering.
When you go overseas, and there's people listening right now, got summer vacations coming up, whether it's Europe or Asia or anywhere in between, you mentioned driving. Should you drive or should you plan on whatever the local transportation is?
You know, the number one cause of American deaths overseas is automobile accidents.
Is that right?
And that's right. And it's either being killed in a car crash or being hit by as a pedestrian by somebody else because you're on the wrong side of the road. I am not a big fan of driving cars overseas because even if you don't get involved in an accident, you might cause a few. And so for me, I'm a big fan of the train system. They figured that out 50 years ago. And the countries in Asia, Europe, Africa's getting their act together, but especially Asia and Europe, it's a breeze. Take the train.
Summertime, anything you tell people, guess what? You didn't know. Go here if you don't have a plan.
Yeah, right now, the U.S. dollar is stronger than it's ever been against so many foreign currencies. I just came back, as I told you, from Botswana. I came back through Johannesburg, because that's how you fly it. The South African rand is like 14 to the U.S. dollar. That is the most amazingly beneficial exchange rate for us. Time to do your Christmas shopping in Cape Town. Same thing in Argentina. Argentina, the buying power of the U.S. dollar is 7 times more now than it was 8 months ago. That's how good it is, because they devalue their currency. And people need to know that we're not talking about the rate of a hotel or an airline ticket. We're talking about basic goods and services, what the locals pay, which they can't adjust for these fluctuations in currency, which means it's everything from a tube of toothpaste to a dinner to a taxi ride to clothing to anything you want to buy there that they can't adjust the prices. You're in the driver's seat. Look, even the euro and the British pound have been reduced against the U.S. dollar. It's a great buyer's market on almost a global scale now.
And I'll leave people with this. Another one of your lessons of life when it comes to travel is talk to a human being, even though the websites have become quite efficient, and certainly it's harder than ever to get a human being on the phone for any of these folks. When do you not talk to a human being? When do you go web?
You go web if you want to look at your travel experience as nothing more than a commodity. So if you're flying between Midway and Boston on Southwest Airlines for the rest of your life at 9 o'clock in the morning, go make love to a kiosk or, have fun. But if you have any sort of a creative itinerary or a complicated itinerary, or you need to know certain things other than what time the plane lands and what time it takes off, you better talk to a human being.
And if you're road tripping this summer, it's not that hard to walk in, and especially if it's 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and talk to the manager of the hotel who's on duty and say, I don't know how full you are tonight, but I'd happily take one of your rooms. What are you willing to offer me?
Well, yeah. Remember, an unsold hotel room is revenue they will never recoup once the sun rises. You're more in the driver's seat than you know. And let's say This just happened to me when I got diverted last week again because of weather in Philadelphia. I ended up at the airport hotel because I couldn't get on the last flight that night because it had canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the front desk, the front desk person said to me, "We have no rooms available. Zero. We're completely topped out." And I happen to know that's not true. Why? Because there's another question you could ask. And I said, "Hey, I'll take an out-of-order room." Now, what's an out-of-order room?
What is it?
It's a room where the mirror might be cracked, or there's a chip on the furniture, or the sink might have a damaged part of it. Hey, as long as the bed works, the phone works, and there's a working light, I'm not there for the meal. I'm there just to get some sleep and get out. And you know what? That's the room I got.
That's a very cool tip. That's tremendous. You're the best, as always. I hope it was a great trip. It sounds like it was. And that turnaround time on the Botswana special is how long?
We'll have that on the air in March or April next year.
Okay. And always check back with Peter Greenberg online at your website, which I believe you creatively named, didn't you?
I did. It's the most. It's amazing. PeterGreenberg.com. Can you believe it? We had a committee on this.
Yeah, good job by you. How long are you in one place?
I'm actually in New York today. I'll be here for one more day, then Tennessee, then Phoenix, then L.A., then Las Vegas, and then Poland.
Well, that's the typical itinerary. Tennessee, Poland, and Vegas. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you making time.
You got it.
Hey, that's Peter Greenberg. He's the best.
An out-of-order room. Yeah, I love that.
I feel like we've just been given a huge tip that's going to save us all money and time in the future.
Well, how about a rental drive-away deal? Yeah, there's your one-way tip.
Mm-hmm.
An out-of-order room. And the confirmation codes, TIV means trip in vain.
Trip in vain.
Imagine if the code was GFL. The hipper members of the audience will know what that is.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
it's 8:12 first. This is the Bridget Gaynor Show featuring me, Steve Cochran, Andy Mazur. Nice to see you, Bridget.
Good to see you, too.
Happy Lollapalooza weekend.
Oh, God. What does a mother love more than Lollapalooza?
Your kid's going.
One of my children is going. He's 17, and I've held off until now, although my 15-year-old daughter was a hell no. So.
Yes. And by the way, that was you. Hell no, you won't
that
go.
That was me and a hell no. Yeah, yeah. Even though she's like, Mom, everyone's going. Everyone in my whole grade is going. I was like, listen, my only concern in this conversation is that I won't have the right words to describe to you how little I care about anything you're saying.
Everyone's going. Not everyone. Not
everyone. I'm going to guess that not everyone's going.
Well, your 17-year-old's a good kid. He'll be fine.
He's a good kid. He's going off to college next year. So at some point, you know, here we're going to be here. Obviously, he's worked all summer. He's paying for it himself.
These are not cheap tickets.
No, he's only going for 2 days. But yeah, for all day, the whole 4 days is $300 more than that.
The good news is you're here on a good day because you get to play Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. So stand by for that.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
And let's get to Dean. Is Dean still at Lollapalooza? Did you even go home?
No, I'm not at Lollapalooza, but the connection that we have is still broken.
Oh, yeah. We had a major meltdown earlier this week here at the radio station.
Yeah, so I'm back at WGN-TV, but on our exclusive moron hotline.
Should we upgrade from Windows 97?
I don't think so. And I'll just say to our technical people, I'm very happy with this Commodore computer that they set me up with.
So, Dean, you know Bridget.
Hey, Dean.
Hi, Bridget. By the way, one of the bands playing at Lollapalooza today is Hell No.
Perfect.
That you talked about, yeah.
You can tell your daughter, you can go see Hell No and then come home.
If it makes you feel any better, I did not see, I was there all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see the kind of debauchery that you normally see. I didn't see the super drunkiness that you normally see. The kids are there to have a good time, certainly, but I didn't see the usual tomfoolery, as we older people like to say, that you normally see at Lollapalooza
yesterday. Tomfoolery is playing at Lollapalooza as well.
That's
yeah,
right.
But did you see a lot of triangle bikinis, like really, really short shorts and glitter?
Well, yes, like, yeah, I did see that.
There you go.
I did see
the
I
shorts
see
where you can see the pockets underneath the short line.
Yeah.
I think they've cut it off so high that the pockets aren't even relevant. So.
Right.
I also noticed, and this is very bizarre to me, this, I don't know if it's makeup, I don't know what it is, but it's where you wipe glitter all over yourself.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, that's the thing. It's you know what, instead of wearing clothes, you're just going to put glitter on, because maybe you're thinking, oh, they can't see anything there because it's glitter.
Are these scantily clad people, or are you talking about legitimately naked people covered in glitter?
No, these are well, they're scantily clad, but they just have glitter everywhere on their skin. It's like it was some sort of cream that had glitter in it, and they wiped it all over themselves.
Seems like strip clubs are missing the mark here. Just open your doors and sell the glitter.
Well, this is the thing. It's all about everyone wants to be an individual, so they do exactly all the same thing. They're expressing
exactly
their individuality
right.
just like everybody else.
You know, I remember, Dean, when you and I had the same leisure suit in 1979. That was embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing back in the day. Same gold chains, everything. It wasn't good. But at least it's going to be another nice day. There are hydration stations everywhere, so the kids can...
Is that the stuff they buried?
Water.
The hydration stations? The stuff they buried in Grand Park?
No, this is... that's something totally different. These are actual watering holes, I guess you might say, where you go and you can fill up your water bottles and... stay nice and hydrated.
Dean, how long were you there yesterday?
I was at the Lollapalooza till about 5 o'clock.
What time is the first time that you saw somebody, Ralph?
No, I didn't. That's what I'm saying. Normally, I do see people that are sick or being taken away by paramedics or overcome by the sun.
Did they break down into book club circles or something? It sounds far too civilized.
Well, I'm not saying that, but there just seemed to be less debauchery this year.
Now, Eric Rung was reporting that there was a lot of weed smoking going on.
Why is Eric Rung smoking weed at this thing? He should be working.
But that's what he was reporting.
Oh, I see.
It was like everywhere.
Replaced the other debauchery. It's almost legal here, so I guess it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Not till January 1st.
I just saw a video of you talking to Perry Farrell. Does Steven Tyler need that outfit back by 5, or what time?
Steve, he's a rock and roll icon. He can dress any way that he wants to.
He was dressed like your stylish aunt who doesn't know she's gotten older.
A leopard miniskirt? No,
it was kind of the big, wide-brimmed hat with a flowing sort of, I don't know,
scarf.
Was it silk with a scarf?
Yeah.
He could have been a Golden Girl, I swear to God.
And he had a very nice blue suit, very tailored, cut, beautiful blue suit. I would say he was more sporting Katharine Hepburn 1968 vintage than Steven Tyler.
All right, when we come back, we're going to play Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in, but let's give you a couple of shots here right out of the gate. Bridget, Wiffle Balls, is that a Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in? And it could be the Wiffle Balls, if you prefer.
I know, because I noticed Dean said the Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like the Jewel? Like you can kind of identify where you're from based on whether you call it Jewel, Jewels, or the Jewel?
Yeah.
It is called Moron Entertainment.
Wiffle Balls. I'm going to say that's a band you were in.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
How about Larry, Daryl, and Daryl?
I'm going to say it's kind of like super ironic, so I'm going to say it's a Lollapalooza band.
Dean?
I'm going to say that was a band that you were in.
Yeah, Dean's correct.
Ah.
It's a band I was in. By the way, I was the second Daryl. So, we'll come back and play more of this. If you want to win, 312-981-7200. As I mentioned, Dean talked to Perry Farrell. We also have a clip from Janelle Monáe. I love Janelle Monáe.
I do, too.
Crazy as the day is long, but I love her.
That was the highlight of my day yesterday, talking with her.
And then a couple of movies to review. Or movies. Yeah, movies, right? The Mike Wallace thing's a movie as well, right?
Yeah.
It is.
A
couple of movies to review as well. Coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Back to Dean. By the way, Dean, I know Melissa Villaseñor has been to Channel 9 already this morning. She's now here, waiting in the PPG Paints green room. She's going to be on with us coming up here in just a few minutes.
We love her.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. And she's going to be very a gigantic funny. Star.
Very funny impersonations. Very charming person. Very lovely.
She does an impersonation of me, which surprised me. That's how broad her talent is. Oh, by the way, speaking of this, Bridget Gaynor was just telling me a story off the air, which, Dean, I know you'll find amusing. A friend of yours asked if you liked me.
They're big WGN listeners, and they said, so do you like Steve Cochran? And I said, I do. I think he's a great guy. And then there was just like a long pause. But I will tell you, huge fans of Mary Vandeville, Mayor.
There you go.
Who's fans of friends of ours. I was at a wake last night.
That aren't so fond of me.
Waiting in line at the wake and just kind of getting in conversation. And
That's always a testing, right? When you go, do you like... They're waiting for you to answer it their way so they can go off. And obviously you didn't.
Obviously. And there was just a pause. But there you go.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm no bargain to live with. I live with me most of the day. All right. So what did Perry Farrell tell you?
Perry, he talked about the legacy that he's created. You know, Lollapalooza started in 1991. It's been going. It went strong. He stopped it for a little while and then brought it back. And it's been here in Chicago since 2005. It's been the permanent home. So he reflected on, you know, this one of the greatest music festivals in the world that he created, as a small project several years ago. We're going to put the whole interview on the internet so people can hear it. But he talked about favorite bands that they've had there, favorite moments that he's had there. One of the things that I talked to him about was what he is most looking forward to this year.
I'm most excited to introduce Lori Lightfoot on stage, and she's going to speak to the Lollapalooza audience.
At which performance?
I'm not positive yet.
Okay.
They just asked me if I would introduce her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then, obviously, what comes next is my own performance.
Yep.
And then I also, I'm looking forward to performing over by the voter registration. But I really think this year I want to try to register as many people as I can through these 4 days. That is like priority number one with me. Then I want to visit people like Janelle Monáe. I want to meet Meek Mills. I want to meet Lil Wayne, 21 Pilots, her. That's a good list, right?
Yeah, Gambino has got to be.
Oh, Childish Gambino.
I think that's kind of cool. That he's a rock legend himself, but he's genuinely giddy about meeting some of today's biggest stars as well.
Well, and he was a rock star, but he's exponentially bigger because he's the Lollapalooza guy. And that's why Dean and I have taken a cue, and we have started two new festivals, Moronpalooza and Talkapalooza. Talkapalooza, where we'll just get a bunch of talk show people to go up on various stages and talk. And Moronpalooza, I think you can picture how that's going to go.
How are they going to keep out the crowds? How are they going to? They're going to need even better fencing than they have over at Lollapalooza.
Security, people are already burying their stashes in Grand Park getting ready for Talkapalooza.
Well, yeah, but in that case, it's Lipitor. They're burying Lipitor in Grand Park, so they can actually get in.
It's Lipitor and stuff to keep you awake so you don't fall asleep during the boring festivities that are going to be going on.
312-981-7200 if you want to play Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in. While they do that, Janelle Monáe on TV with Dean all day. You'll see that clip. But review these movies, Hobbs and Shaw.
I liked Hobbs and Shaw. Some people are trashing it. I don't know what you were expecting when you're going to see a
Shakespeare,
Dwayne the Rock Johnson movie. It's an offshoot of Fast and Furious. It's very much like that genre. It's a good guy, bad guy movie. Dwayne the Rock Johnson is teamed up with Jason Statham. They hate each other, yet they're forced to work together to bring down a force of evil that's trying to kill half the population. It's a fun summer movie.
So it's typical.
Wait, let me say, do they end up liking each other at the end? I mean, don't wreck it for us. But is it the end? Look across the car and say, you know what? Yeah, I can see.
You're not so bad.
You're not so bad.
I think that would be wrecking it if I told you if that was the case or
maybe
not.
Maybe they fall in love. Maybe that's what this is. It's a new day.
It's a fun movie. It does not explore the great questions of philosophy in the world. It's a lot of trash talking, fun effects, fun, very, really exceptional special effects and special stunts in this. I liked it. I gave it a minus. I thought it was a good time.
And at the end of a buddy movie like that, I think the right thing to do is look at each other and punch each other in the face, really, as a sign of affection. Mike Wallace's "here" is the worst four words you could have heard for about 40 years in his run on 60 Minutes. Is that the basic hook for the documentary?
That's basically the hook that explains why those four words were so feared, because of his style, his the way he conducted interviews, his very in-your-face style of conducting interviews. But it talks all about Mike Wallace's career leading up to 60 Minutes and during the 60 Minutes years. And what I really liked about this is that it really is sort of an exploration of journalism and how it relates to the free press today. People who are in journalism, other people who are in journalism, talking about Mike Wallace, talk about the importance of having lots of different voices and not having the press shut down and not having the press viewed as the enemy of the people, but having reporters who are in search of the truth no matter where it takes them. So it also relates very much so to the current state of how the media is viewed. I really liked it. I've always been a big fan of Mike Wallace, and I gave this one a Dean's List B+.
Probably limited, right, where you can see it?
It is. It's not in a lot of theaters, but if you're a journalism fan, if you're a fan of the news, this one is definitely worth seeking out.
And you can count on the fact that if timing had been different, Mike Wallace would have shown up at the Tribune Tower to visit Randy Michaels and Kevin Matheny. So, you know, but we didn't have that kind of timing, you know what I'm saying?
I can only imagine what it would be like if, you know, Mike Wallace were covering politics today, or, you know, like some of the really hard-nosed, no-nonsense kind of journalists, if they were covering the political situation today and how they would deal with all that we've got. Not that, you know, reporters that we have now, you know, back away from tough situations, but it would have been interesting to see these legends at work in these unprecedented times in which we live.
Mike Wallace sitting down with Trump would have been open. He would have opened with, you know, everybody knows you're a pathological liar, right? So, all right.
They show lots of clips, you know, of Wallace's famous interviews, and maybe one of the most famous is when he sat down with the Ayatollah Khomeini and how tension-filled that was.
Well, there were guys in the room that could have killed him.
That could have killed him, yes. And, you know, he's challenging him. It's the Ayatollah, and he's challenging and asking questions that he's not supposed to ask. It just reminds you of what an amazing journalist this guy was.
There's a point, Andy, Bridget, if you don't remember, where Mike Wallace turns to the Ayatollah and goes, please understand this isn't me, but the rest of the world calls you a dillweed. Is that true?
Wow. Band,
I'm not
you
saying
were in.
Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
That's Dean Richards. All right, so Saul's on the phone. Let me do this right now. We're quickly here. Saul, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, here's the question. Lollapalooza band or a band I was in, and Bridget can help you. The band is Dutch Treat.
Dutch Treat?
I'm gonna give this one over.
Dutch Treat. Andy, you can jump in.
Dutch Treat. Sounds like a real thing.
Hmm.
I agree. I think it's a Lollapalooza band. Yeah, I'm agreeing with
you. I'd say a Lala band.
Oh, it's a band I was in.
What?
We only played Dutch music. Yeah.
Come on.
Feel free if you're feeling generous to take care of Saul, because I liked her. Emily's in Aurora. Emily, one for you. Are you ready?
All right.
The band is Still Woozy. Still Woozy. That's not the condition of the band. That's the band's name.
Oh, Still Woozy. I'm going to go Lala band.
Ding, ding, ding.
Wow. Whoa.
Nice.
Well done. She didn't even hesitate. You win yourself an app gift card.
She's much hipper than any of us, clearly.
I'm definitely not.
She might still be woozy. Melissa Villasenor joins us in just a moment. We'll get to the headlines first when we come back on 720 WGN.
Wheel of Musical Impressions. Gwen Stefani singing Three Blind Mice.
23 years ago, I had an ugly run-in with Gwen Stefani when she was still with No Doubt when I was working in New York at Z100. And I've never dropped that grudge. So every time you do Gwen Stefani, Melissa Villasenor.
Are you fuming right now?
No, it just makes my day.
Oh.
This is very funny.
Oh.
So that was, of course, Fallon. But I love when you do Gwen Stefani.
Thanks.
How are you?
Great. I'm great. I like the radio.
Well, it's nice to have you in town. I know it's super early.
Yeah.
Normally you get up 5:30 in the afternoon and work for an hour.
I think it's just I didn't get enough sleep, but I actually really enjoy waking up with the birdies and before everyone's awake. Those are my creative hours.
So you're a morning person.
I am. I feel very silly and wacky in the morning.
What are you doing in show business? You're completely in the wrong business.
I know. It's all, the hours are all messed up anyway. Especially with SNL, it's like every day is different. It's not the same hours.
Now, I know how it used to be. And by used to be, I meant the decade we called the 90s, where Tuesday, everybody would pitch. And then Wednesday, Thursday were rewrites and you're building sets. And then Friday, you'd come in and you'd backstab everybody. And then Saturday, you'd do the run through in the show. Is it similar?
No. It's more like Monday's a pitch, Tuesday's writing night, Wednesday's table read. Those are the picks that get after the table read. And then we rehearse Thursday, Friday, film the 3 pre-tapes Friday, which could go really late or to Saturday even. And then Saturday, we get in at 12:30, run the whole show. I mean, it is.
People have no idea the amount of time that's put into it. Like, in season, you don't sleep in season. Well, maybe once.
If it's a lighter week, I get a lot of sleep if I'm not really in the show that much.
But when do you find out how much the show you're in? By Wednesday?
By Wednesday.
Yeah.
Table read.
By Wednesday.
But things could change, too. That's the thing. It's like, it's really a lot of life lessons in that show because I could be like, oh, I'm not in the show this week. And then by Saturday, they're like, oh, you're in this sketch now. Now you're in the cold open. You're opening the episode. It's like, oh, wait. So you're on your toes. You're like, you don't know what. You can't really.
You're like a surgeon on call.
Yeah.
You never know when the call's coming
in. It's true. No, but it's good. It's taught me a lot. I've become a better performer and I've just gotten better through the years there.
Let's be honest. You become a better person.
Oh, thanks.
You come from a big family?
I do. Yeah.
Anybody else in the business?
No, just me.
And the family's thrilled with that now, I'm sure. What did they think when you first came home?
My parents were like, this'll phase out. this won't last. And then I was like, nope. I knew it.
What did the brothers or sisters do?
My brother works at Hearst. He's like a creative design dude. Mm-hmm. And then my sis works at Neon, that production distributing company for movies. And
well, she's kind of in show business.
Yeah. And she, and then my other brother, Andy, he works in construction engineering in LA.
You have any nieces or nephews?
Nah.
Okay, so that's not, you don't have kids in your life yet to tell you how cool you are.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, down the road.
Or not cool.
Right. Well, by the time those kids age to a point where
they could be so honest and hurt my feelings.
Yeah, but by then you'd be such a big star, you wouldn't even take their calls.
That's true.
So there is that. How many different voices do you do?
I don't know.
But that you love, like voices that you love to go to, other than Gwen Stefani.
I mean, I guess I feel like I like the voices that aren't that popular for
like
me.
Who?
I guess like Gandalf and Steve Buscemi and but these aren't like dead on like my other ones. It's more just for me, I think.
You walk around going "My Precious" a lot just to make sure you're still in.
Oh no, that's a little dude.
Oh, that's not Gandalf?
That's not Gandalf.
Gandalf's a wizard?
He's the wizard. He's the one that goes, oh, this is a good morning. Oh, I love coffee.
Gandalf selling coffee would actually be a good commercial. And you're an LA girl.
I slept until noon.
It tickles me. Those are the ones I like.
Right. And you're an LA girl?
LA gal.
What were you doing when you got Saturday Night Live?
I was just content doing some cartoon voices and taking classes, acting classes, and doing stand-up as I always did. I got to this place where I was like, you know what? I'm happy. I'll trust it's going to go. And it, you know, that was a good place to be in, getting the show.
So how'd you get the audition?
One of the producers saw me do stand-up at
this show in LA.
Okay.
And yeah, and then I auditioned. I usually send in a reel every. Sorry, did I hit your toe?
You're all right.
Okay.
Bridget and Melissa are funny.
No, my shoe hit her feet.
So the producer comes up to you at the show and
no, she didn't. They didn't say anything. But my friend Al Madrigal was hosting the show, and he's one of the producers is here, and I was like, okay, well, I just did my stand-up set anyway. I sent in a reel as well, and then I did a showcase, and I flew out to audition, and then meetings. So it's kind of it's a process, but they saw me also 6-7 years prior audition as well.
Well, you're not old enough for 6-7 years prior.
No, I auditioned when I was 21.
Really?
Yeah. It was nuts. But I was so bad. I had good impressions, but I wasn't a funny person.
You didn't have an act.
I had some bits.
Right.
But no.
So how does that work? Do they take you aside and go, you got some good stuff here, keep working on it, maybe we bring you back?
No, they say nothing. There's nothing.
It's just bye-bye.
It's just bye.
Wow. So fun.
So they ghosted you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even before the term existed.
Even before it existed. Well, I think it kind of was always out there. They just named it.
Right. Melissa Villaseñor is at Zany's downtown. You ever played Zany's on Wells?
No, it's my first time, and last night's show was great.
This is a legendary venue.
It's so cool. Yeah, I could feel it in there. Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody that's ever been anybody in stand-up has played there, and it's the weirdest little room. I mean, I love it, but it was a strip club at one point, so there's this giant stage.
Oh, no one said this. And that's why I felt real sexy.
There's this overly tall stage in the front, because most stand-up clubs, you know, there's a little riser, you know, or a stage you can walk up on. But this awkwardly high stage in the front, and you're talking to a narrow room, looks like a bus terminal.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So get that in your head, right, for tonight's shows. Zanies.com. Hold on, we'll come back and do some more in a second. And we'll find out about something I like to call Bridget Gaynor's Slow Weekend.
When you wish upon a star, Christina Aguilera.
When you wish upon a star. Makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come true. You, yeah.
How about that? How about that? Melissa Villaseñor is here from SNL. She's at Zany's.
Thanks.
Tomorrow night in Rosemont, by the way, two shows downtown tonight.
Come
but tomorrow
on
night
out,
Rosemont,
guys.
Zanies.com. Did you ever think about like a straight up legit singing career? Because you have a fabulous voice.
I do music on the side. I mean, I don't know how some. It's the same thing as a comedian. How do you do music? Have a music career? I feel like I make music. I want to have the life of Donald Glover and be a crossover artist. That's my plan.
I think it'd be
That's
more as a
plan.
Female childish Gambino anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I see in you. Our friend Bridget Gaynor here is a big shot executive at a company.
Hell yeah.
She could tell that.
At Aon. Yes, and also a high-level politician in Chicago for the Cook County Board. And a terrific mom, by the way. And
well, we'll see. Jury's out. You know, we got.
But whose children? One child hates her at home. But she also claims to never be busy on the weekends. Every Friday when she's here, I always check in for her definition of a slow weekend. So, what are you doing this weekend?
This is actually a slow weekend. So tonight we're going to Open Outcry. So it's on 109th and Western. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Nope.
New bar, food. They kind of like built something that looks like a food truck inside the restaurant, but then they have a whole roof deck. It's awesome. So my sisters and I are all going to go out there and hang out. And then there's really like not much else going on.
What?
Truly.
There's nothing happening Saturday and Sunday?
Nope. Hanging out with the kids. My husband's out of town with my daughter. They went to see his sister. So the baby's out of town, even though she's not a baby. So it's just me and the teenagers. And I'm going to worry about my son at Lollapalooza. That's going to take up a lot of my time.
Yeah, you should be busy this week.
A lot of my time. And then the rest of the time is going to be spent having Lillian tell me why she should be at Lollapalooza, but she's not.
You should definitely be busy this week.
So that's going to take up a lot of time, worrying about Finn and then listening to Lily talk about why
those
she's
are
not
cool
there.
Names, Finn and Lily.
Yeah,
and
Mary
and
is my
Mary.
Baby. Yeah,
oh my
well,
gosh.
She's 11, so yeah,
yeah, it's a baby.
I'll do you a favor as your friend. I'll call you every 15 minutes and go, I'm sure he's fine.
I was like, text me. He goes, yeah, mom, there's real bad reception at Lollapalooza. I go, really? That was like. He was asleep when I left this morning. And I said, I want you to text me all the time when you're there. Just like every hour. Just say, hey, I'm not doing drugs. And I'm not dead. And I'm not running into traffic.
You can't get a cell signal in Chicago at Grand Park. What are you,
really,
crazy?
It's all jammed up. I go, you've never been there. So how do you know there's no cell signal? And by the way, you're not even there now. So, listen, I don't like where this is going for your long-term life, that you're already coming up with excuses.
I want to see what excuses.
Even yourself.
I want to see what excuses he makes to his friends every hour when he has to text mom.
Oh, they know my scene all day.
Yeah, and they got their face in the phone anyway.
Well, they're all right. The whole thing is like the only saving grace is maybe they're not doing anything bad with each other because they can't set down their phone. So,
well, that's good. Yeah,
they're
keep
only
their
taking
hands.
Pictures to put it on Instagram instead of actually being, you know,
keep their hands busy.
That, well, definitely.
Right?
Uh-huh. That's my goal.
Melissa Villasenor with Lollapalooza in town. Are you tempted just to bag out of the show and just go to them?
I mean,
music should, you know, you love music.
Yeah, that would be fine. But it's funny how now I'm getting older. I'm like, man, the energy. I can't do that during the day and then do stand-up at night. Mm-hmm.
You know what we call that? A good idea at 7 a.m., a terrible idea at 7 p.m. You know, at 7 a.m., it's like, this is fantastic. Free tickets to the Rolling Stones. And then at 7 p.m., you go, eh, they probably don't have parking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
Plus, did you bring your triangle bikini, your short shorts, and your glitter? Because they don't let you in.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't let you get in.
Yeah, they're like, I'm sorry, you have way too many clothes on. What's happening here?
Yeah, they wouldn't.
Can you really enjoy the music? Oh, you don't know any of the bands anyway? Oh, yeah, okay.
There is a... somebody texted in earlier. I don't know if I could find it. They said it's called Angel Snot, this glitter thing. You get to that, or is that just one line of glitter product?
You know what? Not an expert, but I have experts.
I'm sorry, unicorn... Not Angel. Unicorns. No.
That was Angel Dust you were thinking about? Yeah, that's in my nightmare. Okay, good. But thanks for that.
You'll be playing the role of neurotic mom all weekend. So
it takes a lot of talking about the use of energy. I won't have any energy to do anything else. It's a lot.
Well, speaking of energy, let's get Melissa a broad career here where she's fielding offers, because we know she is.
Absolutely.
With your talent and with your ability to do all those voices and characters,
yeah,
you got to be getting pitched sitcoms and different ideas for things. I mean, all the various platforms. Hey, we got a series on YouTube we want you to do. We got a mini here we want you to do. Those have to be coming your way.
Little bit. I feel it's ultimately up to me, though, to write my script.
Actually, no.
Yes. I feel like, no, I think to make it something I want to do.
Oh, write a script. I think you meant script for your life.
Oh.
Both.
Yeah, both.
Right,
yeah. But
right.
I do want to do like a fun buddy comedy, road comedy. Those are my favorite movies.
Well, that's
just
good.
Two idiots driving. You
like, know? Those are my favorite things to do.
I mean, yeah. So that's something I want to write, and I want Steve Buscemi, to play my dad.
Nice.
Do you know Buscemi?
I do.
He's a fabulous guy. New York City fireman.
I mean, I love him. But yeah, I just want something real fun, a father-daughter type of movie.
That's very
fun. I just
funny.
Think that'd be real fun.
Very fun.
So I want to write that.
Is there anybody you do voices of? People do voices, get asked this all the time. Is there anybody you do voices of that doesn't want you to do the voice, or it was awkward meeting him? Like, your Ellen is unbelievable. I'm sure Ellen loves you.
Oh, boy. I don't do that one anymore, but I feel... I mean, I probably could, but...
It's not like Ellen told you can't.
No, I just feel... I don't think I've had anyone say don't...
How about Sarah Silverman? I love Sarah Silverman.
She loves it. I ran into the Comedy Store a few weeks ago, and she was like, are you going to imitate me? And I always have to, because she wants me to. And she's the sweetest. And she just, like, stands on the side of the stage like... I remember meeting, years ago, Maria Bamford, and she's one of my favorites.
She's so great.
And I remember, I was like, I do an impression of you, and she's like, I don't want to hear it, though. It's okay. If it's okay, I don't want to hear it.
Do we know if Maria's legitimately off the deep end?
Oh, I think she's great. She's actually really
happy. She's fabulous. She's from Minneapolis or Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's happily married, and she's got what appears to be a fairly stable life. But when you see her act, you go, well, I want to laugh really hard, then I want to give you a hug.
I know, Maria. She's good, though. Yeah.
So there's some great, great female talent in comedy.
She's so good.
It's great to have you in.
Yeah,
I told you when you walked in, I'm a big fan. I really
Thanks. Thank you.
So have fun tonight at Zany's on Wells.
I will. I sure will.
And then tomorrow night in Rosemont, Zany's.com. And I think there's some tickets left. You probably should grab them right now.
Yeah, grab them right now.
Yeah.
Okay, Zany's. It's going to sell out, and we're going to have a fun night.
By the way, if you buy two and use my name, you get the other two for the same price. So, I mean, get on that before that offer's gone.
Absolutely. Really?
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of power I have. Great to meet you.
Good to meet you too, guys.
You want to plug social? Where do people find you on social?
Melissa V Comedy, because I don't think anyone can spell Via Signor, you know?
Don't make it hard for people.
Yeah, they're just...
Melissa V Comedy. And Bridget, just, you know, whenever you can't find Vin, I'll just come by. Finn. I got Via Signor in my head.
Right. Only when they let us put the trackers in their head. That'll be so much better.
Well, that's where you know where Vin is.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming over.
Thank you. It's good always so much fun. Have a great weekend.
CLTV, hi to you guys. And we need a break before we hit the news. We'll do that, and we'll come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Get start business as strange as they can be. Stupid, silly product on Amazon and QVC. Heidemann does the research, finding things you didn't know. A service you get only on the Steve Cochran Show.
Michael Heidemann has worked himself into quite a scam here, where he goes and he attends music festivals and things and pretends it's work. We'll be at Lollapalooza all weekend. Who did you see last night?
Last night was the Strokes on stage.
Yeah?
An amazing group. Haven't toured in years, and I got to see them as a fully formed band. It was awesome.
Good crowd?
Great crowd. Really relaxed. Just happy people who are happy to see their favorite bands.
Well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Before we get into crap you found on the internet, oh, and by the way, coming up, are the Kennedys cursed? A story that kind of summarizes all the things that happened to the Kennedys after the death of another family member. A quick update, if you will, on the story Kim Gordon just did from a bunch of texters. Northbrook Fest, known as Northbrook Days, is going to be held in the parking lot at Macy's/Northbrook Court this year. Okay? So that's Northbrook Court by Macy's, just so you know. All right, so you find stuff on the internet that it's ridiculous it's on the internet. And it's stuff that maybe we buy, maybe we don't. What's item number one?
Well, Steve, I'm glad to be back here on the show to do this. It's actually a special Lollapalooza edition of stuff I found on the internet this week.
Okay.
So today, this is for a product that is for a 21 and older crowd. You know, you always hear about people digging into Grand Park and hiding alcohol bottles. Well, this is a way that you can brush your hair and drink your booze at the same time. It's a hairbrush hidden flask.
So it's a hollow hairbrush where you can keep booze in it.
Yes, 6 ounces of booze, in fact. And for the price tag of only $14.97.
So if somebody shows up with like 9 hairbrushes attached to their
belt. Say, how many hairbrushes do you need?
Yeah, you're going to need more than just one.
And how does the hair not get in the brush?
Well, see, that's the thing. There is a fully functional brush at the same time. Yeah. So you want to put the hair in the brush to kind of make it seem like a real brush.
No, I mean, how does the hair not get in the drink?
Oh.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, it's an issue. $14.97 and available on Amazon?
Yes, that's right. 5 out of 5 stars, in fact. You can take them on the airplane, 7-day cruise, beaches, movie theaters, clubs, concerts, and football games, and more. And no one suspects a thing.
And a continuing...
Until now.
And you're right, now that we outed them. And a continuing sample of idiots will pay for anything. Item number two.
Oh, this is great. You know, you heard Eric Rung talking about the smoky sensations that are going down at Lollapalooza. Well, what's better to quench that delicious hunger you have than just a bunch of sweet and sour packs from McDonald's?
Just the sauce.
Just the sauce.
No nuggets.
No nuggets.
Just the sauce.
That's
right. Stick your finger in it. Drink it down. The sweet and sour packs that you generally are limited because you'll have, you know, waste cases drive through and go, can I have 9? You know, and they'll charge you a little bit for extra. It would occur to me that you could probably go to the supplier and order these, but how much for 25 sweet and sour packs?
So this is going for the phenomenal price of only $29.95, and if that doesn't fill your stomach enough, they also have them in 50 packs and 100 packs.
Can I think of the maker of that brush needs to get together with the sweet and sour. Can you pour the stuff into the other hairbrush?
Oh, sure.
There we go.
You're working together in tandem.
See, you're a thinking man.
That's too much.
Fanny packs are still a thing.
Yeah, oh my gosh, fanny packs are so huge. If you're at Lollapalooza today, you're going to see about 1,000 of them, whether they be multicolored glitter, rhinestones, leather. Well, how about, Steve, the dad bod as a fanny pack?
Well, because somebody wants a belly?
Yes, of course you want a belly, especially when dad bods are all the rage. It's really hot, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio watching on the beach. Well, now you can have your own adjustable dad bod to fit your coins in, you know, your usable your phone, your flask, hairbrush.
Your sweet and sour sauce.
Everything that you
your
want
hairbrush.
Anymore.
The packets. Large capacity and solid zipper keep your things a lot safer. And you can actually wear this all weekend at Lollapalooza. And it's got hair covering it, so it looks like a real dad belly. How much?
It's only $12.99. And, you know, we have a great review here, too. 5 out of 5 stars from Stacy says, are you turned on by a dad bod, but your husband's into CrossFit? You know, those six-pack abs are just not the cool thing. Buy him this. Now he can carry his spare change, and you can get your jollies.
Now, you also search out Kickstarter campaigns where people are trying to raise money for their dream. For instance, you're going to tell us about something called the Cool Baby. They need $70,000. So far, they've raised 28% of that.
So, that's
a lot of money still. That's 25-30 grand.
Absolutely. And this is a great product. So that's why I wanted to bring it to the Steve Cochran show to make sure that we keep
By the way, you should. I'm telling you right now, you should be offended about what you're about to hear. Okay?
All right. So if the hairbrush wasn't your thing and you're still thinking, I need a real way. I need a way to get in that's more creative, Michael. The hairbrush is going to get given away. How about the Cool Baby, which is it's basically a fake baby that lets you drink alcohol out of its skull.
So you pop the head off,
yes,
and the head is like a booze canteen.
See, that won't be very obvious, will it?
No.
And it comes with its own papoose, so you wouldn't even know that it's a fake baby.
But so it'll be like you're kissing the baby, but you're really drinking out of the baby's head?
Exactly. You're just like giving it sweet kisses on the forehead and its little knapsack hat, and then you're just drinking your smooth kombucha or whatever you want to put in there.
And the price is $35?
This is only $35, yes, and it is a Kickstarter. So if you want to pledge $250 or more, that's the tailgater price, and you can get a producer credit for this. You get a birth certificate for your cool baby, and so many people are going to be admiring you all the way through Lollapalooza with this one.
Can you imagine the guy walking around Lollapalooza all day long and seeing some guy pop the head off a baby?
Yeah, that would be odd. That'd be odd.
But so it would be odd, but it wouldn't be the craziest thing you would see at Lollapalooza.
Second or third. You have this odd fascination with wall stickies, but like what are they called? The jumbo heads, those big head things?
Oh, the fat heads.
The fat heads. Yeah. You've given us in the past several old people on a golf cart.
Yes, Asian man with the inhaler.
Yes, Asian man with an inhaler. These are all very, very odd fat heads. What's your latest?
Well, you see, all these kids have the Tekashi 6ix9ines and the Ariana Grandes on their walls. Well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We want to see the anticipation senior woman with surprised face on your wall.
This is an old lady with clenched fists and a surprised look on her face. Like, oh, you kids!
She's an amazing person. You can name her. You could put her in your bathroom if you want, and every day would be just like a brand new surprise. In fact,
can you imagine walking into your kid's room and this is on the wall?
I'd say that would be a cool kid.
Now, is this Kickstarter or is this Amazon again?
This is Amazon.
All right, how much?
$21.96 and free shipping.
Now, whenever Michael's on, we always have him bring in something we call two fakes and a lie. These are three products, Andy. You're going to play the game.
All right.
Only one of these products is real.
Okay.
The other two are fake. Okay. And then the one that is real, you're going to ask yourself why. Two fakes and a lie. Product number one?
All right, so this is a great game. I know you have a brand. You have little Abigail. Everyone is growing up so fast. Well, video games are the hot ticket item. And with Christmas just right around the corner, how about you get them Extreme Chores?
Extreme Chores with chore controllers and Snap-on tools that make every job feel like the real thing. This is like an AI chore thing?
Yeah, it's like a Nintendo Wii, but instead of using the digital control, you're using a rake.
raking, doing the dishes, yard work,
a shovel,
clearing the litter box. It's all in here.
It's the hot new video game, only $49.99.
Bathe and Brew, what is that?
Bathe and Brew is here. It's finally. I know you've been all asking
Michael,
yourself.
Why is Michael not doing an infomercial?
It sounds like a complete infomercial.
Everything he's thrilled about.
He's going to work for QVC next.
Hot coffee in the shower is finally here. And this is why I'm so excited, because I love coffee, I love showers, and this kind of combines the both of them together.
Well, you got a big weekend planned.
So this, you can make coffee directly in your shower. Not only does it make coffee, but it doubles as a soap dispenser.
Now you're gonna, aren't you gonna mix up the cream and the
say,
soap?
Don't confuse that.
Then you get scalded while you're
then you
at
get,
it.
Then you look like the lady on the fathead.
It says, cut surprise. Your morning routine in half. Stainless housing stands up to even the harshest dandruff shampoos.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, you can take cream with your conditioner. It's the shower coffee maker and soap dispenser.
And brews 1 cup per 12 gallons of water.
And finally...
Finally, this is another exciting thing, and this will go very well with the Lollapalooza crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's the woman's pet carrier shirt. It's a hoodie that helps you carry your animal in the pouch of the hoodie. It's
so this will help you get your dog or your cat into Lollapalooza.
Yes, exactly.
Even if they don't have a ticket.
Even if they don't have a ticket. You know, actually, I think they'd give you an extra ticket if you wore this, because it's so
animal nice. Pouch hood sweatshirt. And once again, like all these things, the dog looks like, what the hell am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a kangaroo pouch for your hoodie.
Two of these are fake. One is real.
Yes,
Andy, what's
correct.
A real one?
God, I'm really hoping that the brew one is the real one, because I'd love to go get one. But I really kind of feel like the last one is the real one.
I do, too. I think the same yeah. thing. Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the pouch. I think, is that the one you're going to
get? Yeah, that's the one we picked.
The pouch is the real one, yeah.
All right, Mayor?
Yeah, pet carrier.
Super Joe? Super Joe says he's busy right now.
Yeah, that extreme chores.
He just shook
really
his head
wacko.
In shame. He just was like, what's going on here with these products?
All right, Michael, which is the real one?
All right, so the real product is... Extreme Chores. Just joking.
Come on!
I'm totally kidding. Oh. I'm totally.
It's pouch.
It's the animal pouch hooded sweatshirt.
Yes. You sold that hard.
It's available.
Dude. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well done. And you'll post all those?
Absolutely. You can find all these products on Amazon, and they are real.
But I'm saying you'll post the link so people can find them?
Oh, of course.
All right. Steve Cochran page and WGNRadio.com and @CochranShow on Twitter and all that. Nice job. And I mean that. Sort of. Steve's coming up with the news here in just a second. You start looking through after the latest Kennedy family tragedy, and Steve, I don't know if you have this in this current newscast coming up.
I do, yes.
But you start looking at the run of the Kennedy family, and it's just incredible what they've been through. And again, a lot of it comes from being rich and powerful. A lot of it is self-induced. Some of it are just horrible accidents. It starts with Joe Kennedy Jr., who Joe Kennedy Sr. wanted to be the President of the United States because Joe Kennedy Sr. had been hanging out with too many mobsters and he would never get elected. There were two in-flight explosions that hit the aircraft. He actually was carrying explosives on the plane. I think it was his last mission. He died at 29. 4 years later, his sister Kathleen died when a small plane crashed during a storm in France. She was involved with a man the family did not approve of, and they were going to go off and get married. She was 28. In 1963, President Kennedy and his wife Jacqueline gave birth to their third child, Patrick. It was more than 6 weeks early. He lasted only 2 days before he died. The grandfather of the latest Kennedy family victim. How do you pronounce her name, Steve?
Cersei.
Senator Robert Kennedy was shot dead in 1968, as you know. The next year, JFK and RFK's brother, Ted Kennedy, who died in 2009 after living a full life to 77, wondered, and this is his quote, if some awful curse did actually hang over all of the Kennedys. JFK's son, John F. Kennedy Jr., Carolyn Kennedy, and sister-in-law Lauren Bessette died in a plane crash. Carolyn Bessette and Lauren Bessette were sisters. They both died on that same day. JFK Jr. was piloting the plane at night, apparently lost his bearings, and the aircraft plummeted into the ocean. One of RF Kennedy's sons, David Kennedy, died in 1984 of a drug overdose. He was only 28.
That's the one I was trying to remember.
Yeah. Michael Kennedy died in a Colorado ski accident. What were they doing, Mary? Weren't they playing football on skis or something?
Yeah. You know, they're a very adventurous family.
Yeah.
They do all kinds of crazy
39,
stuff.
39, and he ran into a tree. 2011, Ted Kennedy's daughter, Kara Kennedy, died at the age of 51 of a heart attack during a workout at a health club. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on, and it includes those that were no longer married to Kennedys who went on to die as well. There were a couple of former sisters-in-law and daughters-in-law that also passed. So the list is crazy. And as you mentioned earlier, I think it was Steve, may have been Mary, talking about Ted Kennedy. And you could certainly call that a tragedy when Chappaquiddick happened.
Yeah, and so this the story that you know involves this 22-year-old again, a granddaughter of Robert and Ethel. The reports are now that she died of an apparent drug overdose. Had been battling depression for quite a number of
months. It's awful. Yeah. It's awful.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, we've had a great week, and many of you, I'm sure, have. I will put my week up against yours, because Wednesday morning I found out some great news, and Ross Cochran joins us now on the phone. Ross, hi, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. How are you?
He sounds tired to be here.
Doug Fudd said, well, he's got a reason to be tired. Would you like to announce what happened this week?
Yeah, on Wednesday morning, we welcomed our son into the world. Isaac Shepherd Cochran was born on Wednesday morning at 8:42.
How about that?
That's awesome.
Abigail Grace has a little brother.
Very cool.
Yeah. By the way, we caught up with the Vandeveld family. Mary was rubbing in my face that she had two and I only had one. So well done, son.
Yeah, no, we did it for you, Pops. You're right.
Yeah, and you have a boy.
Yeah,
I have two little girls, but I love them dearly. But congratulations, Ross. How big?
Thanks, Mary. he was 10-2.
Whoa.
Yeah, the Bears signed him about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, my gosh. How's Lauren?
She's great. She's
great.
Awesome. She is Abigail's hero, my hero, and Isaac's hero.
Oh.
We were in the hospital yesterday before they went home, and to see Abigail and her brother, Isaac, together, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. You know, you look at it and go, I mean, how blessed. So we're lucky. We're very lucky. And you don't give yourself enough credit, son. I'm sure your feet are sore. That's a lot of standing around waiting for that boy to show up.
A lot of standing. I really struggled to keep up on Twitter. I didn't know anything that happened in the Democratic debates. You know, it was pretty distracting, I'm going to be honest.
So, has he decided on a college?
I think he's definitely pursuing Northwestern. We're starting, you know, we're parents in Chicago. So, you know, we're starting a lot of early academic excellence kind of stuff, really trying to raise his standards. I mean, you know, he's been around for a couple of days, and I think at this point, like, he needs to get a job. I think that's kind of where we're landing.
Yeah, and Ross and Lauren have already signed him up for several programs and camps.
Nice.
Because his parents, you need to do that.
And the linebacker position of many football teams.
Oh, yeah. Fitz has already tried to recruit him.
Being scouted, which is kind of strange, yeah.
You know, you won't remember this, Ross, because you were just born. But when you showed up in the world, I remember. Look, your sister, I love your sister more than anything, and the same way you love Abigail more than anything. But I didn't have a son until you showed up. And when you showed up, I just remember looking at you and going, I've got a son. I've got a son. And I knew that because of the stuff, the parts you had. And, and it's just a moment. It's really hard to describe, but to be blessed to have a daughter and a son, which you now do as well, it's an amazing gift.
Yeah. No, it really is. It's been really cool to be able to get it more, to have two kids, to be able to, you always talked about a Pops of your love multiplying and living in that joy.
It's weird, right? Because you don't know, and Steve, I'm sure, went through this. Mary went through this. You think you have that first kid and you go, how could I possibly love another kid as much as I love this kid? And the second one shows up and it just works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not entirely. It didn't always work that way, because I'm sure my mother didn't feel that way about my sister, Leslie. But
there you go. There you go. Add to her therapy bill there, too, Pops. Good job.
See, I was more saying, wow, after having that baby, how can I ever have another one? Ouch. And then you forget about it. God does that. He just says, okay, you're going to forget about this, because that means you can have another one.
So. Well, you do have to wonder what the population of the world would be if the men had the babies.
Zero.
Everybody have one child.
Zero. Yeah, it would have been done.
I say zero.
So, yeah, we are so blessed and
way
so
to go,
lucky.
Lauren.
And now, there's a picture we'll post of a ceremonial thing that I think fathers will understand. It's Ross's first nap with his son. where he looks like a drunk that passed out on the floor with his glasses cockeyed and the whole thing. And that's some good sleep you were getting there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that's the thing. When you have two, you know, you lose that, like, shock factor where, you know, everything is like, oh, my gosh, like, is this child, you know, going to break?
Right.
And, you know, we got home, and within, like, 30 minutes, it was like, all right, well, I'm going to take a nap now. Like, everything's fine. We know how to do this.
Well, and Abigail and Amy, Amy's age difference from Ross and Abigail from Isaac are about the same. So you've got this built-in little mom, like a backup mom. And the cool thing was yesterday, we're watching, and every time Isaac would make any noise at all, Abigail had the cure, and it was whatever stuffed animal was nearby. So he clearly wants this bunny. So tons of texts coming in. Congratulations, Pops, and the whole Cochran family. It really is an amazing thing and one of the greatest days I've had. And I know it ranks very high for you, son. So,
yeah, top three for sure.
So it's pretty great.
And for you to keep it secret for 2 days, Steve? Wow.
Yeah, right?
Command
it shows
you
two things. One, I listen to Ross and Lauren. And two, I'm afraid of Ross and Lauren.
Only took almost 3 years to train him well.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Hey, Ross, how's Abigail Grace taking on the big sister role so far?
She's great, man. She is, she knows where things are that we need help with. My dad was saying, she thinks she already knows. You know, he'll start crying and she'll be like, oh, he needs a stuffed bunny right now.
And what is she calling?
You think he needs food, Mom, but he really just needs a stuffed bunny.
What is she calling him? Does she have a name?
She has made it very clear that she prefers Isaac to Isaac Shepherd.
Okay.
So she's like, I'm not going to call him that. But occasionally we've gotten a crazy Isaac or a silly Isaac.
Right. Right.
And baby brother, that was the placeholder.
Right. Now, one last thing. Isaac means what?
Laughter.
Which is perfect. And secondarily, I don't know if you guys remember, but I told you, I don't know, several months ago, that Abigail was going to name this child, and she wanted to name the child. I told Ross and Lauren at one point, if she can spell it, you got to go ahead and do it. Turns out you delivered.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It was really cool. We had Isaac as a name for a boy before we knew that Abigail was going to be a girl. And then when Abigail said that she wanted to name the baby, we're like... Oh, I think we need to name him Isaac.
Kind of all came together.
Did she mean like Ha Ha Clinton Dix? Kind of the same thing.
She was never a fan of the Ha Ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah, especially for his Packers years, you know.
So, yeah. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. Love you, buddy, and obviously hugs all around.
Thanks, WGN. Appreciate you guys being there. I feel like I should plug something just because I'm here. But I got
you did.
Plug in my kid, huh?
Yeah, you just plugged your child's birth. I think that's probably more important than the other stuff. All right, hugs all around. Go get some rest when you can.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Congratulations. Oh, so exciting.
It's great. It's tremendous.
And boys are the best, I tell you.
I was going to give Ross the boy diaper changing lesson.
Just be aware of that. Yes.
Yeah, you got to have the second diaper as a shield.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Steve, did you ever get hit?
Did I ever get hit? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think I only got hit a couple times.
Well, I mean, if it's more than two times, it's kind of on you.
Yeah. No, I don't mean the same time. It wasn't like I got hit, I relaxed, and I got hit again. Tons of nice texts. Thank you for all of them. Congrats to the family. What can be a pretty dark world out there, it gets awfully bright. May his whole life shine bright like the brightest star in the sky. It's very sweet amongst many that have been sent in. And I would be remiss if I did also not wish the best to the Leonard family. Kelly Leonard lost his daughter. And it's a terrible story of a beautiful young girl who died at 17. She started feeling sick last fall. And she's been battling cancer ever since. And I never, you know, Team Nora, you may have heard about it. Team Nora was this national network of celebrities that got together to send her well wishes and stuff. And I always saw pictures. I've never met her, but I always saw pictures of her smiling ear to ear. And there's no way to explain that. There's no way to rationalize it or ever even talk about it in the appropriate way, I suppose.
It's just crushing. I mean,
right?
Kelly's on with me a couple times a month, and you know, we've talked a lot about it and about, you know, he writes about attitude and business, leadership and things like that. And he's talked about his daughter through that sort of lens. And, yeah, just reading it this morning, it's just crushing.
And it's been less than a year. That's the thing. I never like saying someone lost their battle to cancer. Cancer sucks. Cancer doesn't care who you are, doesn't care how old you are, doesn't care what you've done or not done. Everybody is up for grabs. So God bless you, Nora, and the whole Leonard family. So thinking about them today as well. Bill and Wendy are live on remote, and you told me where, and I've already forgotten.
McHenry County Fair.
Oh, the McHenry County Fair. So they're out there mostly, I assume, Steve, for the fair food?
I think that's the case. Bill kept talking about watching monkeys ride on dogs. I don't know if that's really happening, but...
Do they have monkeys riding on dogs at fairs anymore?
I think they call it, what, banana racing or something like that? I don't know what they called it.
That sounds like something you may have done.
Well, no, it's the truth.
It was not the same game.
It was in a commercial, you know? I mean, Oregon even talked about it, I think.
And they'll be live from there in just a few minutes. You know, I've got a few leftover rounds of Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. If somebody wants to call in, they could play, but I could certainly run a few of these by you guys. And Steve, feel free to chime in as well.
I walked down there this morning. They were already doing some sound checks.
Not with the bands. The bands are still making bail.
I would think so, yeah.
The band is 10-time losers. 10-time losers. Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. Anybody?
That's a Lollapalooza band.
Band you were in.
Band I was in. That's exactly right. Mary, you're the leader on the board of the one.
Cheater.
Table for Two.
Cheat?
Table for Two. Is that a jazz fusion band or a band I was in?
Band you were in.
I'm going to say a jazz fusion band.
Lollapalooza.
It's a band I was in. Andy, you're on the board.
Oh, my God.
Of course, that at one. Steve, right. Cannot get off the schneid here. This is a band that I know you guys have heard of. But let me go to the caller here and give Donna a chance to win. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
By the way.
Thank you. I'm very lucky, and so is my family. Donna, the band is My Eyes Are Up Here. My Eyes Are Up Here. Is that a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
I would say that was a band you were in.
That's exactly right. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Thank you.
And I think you guys remember when we played Lollapalooza. That's what confused a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about Boombox Cartel? Andy?
Lala.
Mary?
I'm going Lala.
Steve?
I'm going to go Lala.
Steve's on the board.
Hey.
3-3 and 1. Boombox Cartel, which is, I got to tell you, a pretty good name for a band. Men I Trust. And their subtitle for the band should be, and it's a short list. Men I Trust. Lollapalooza
that
band?
Is Lollapalooza.
Yeah. Mary?
Steve sounds really sure, so yeah, Lollapalooza.
Really? You'd follow me?
Steve sounds really sure, so it's a band you were in.
It's a Lollapalooza band.
Yeah.
Okay. Way to go, Steve.
Way to go, Andy.
So you and Steve are tied at this point. You can cut the tension with a knife around
here. I think I'm winning.
You're still winning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, you're still winning.
She's not competitive at all.
No, she really isn't. I Hate Puns.
Oh,
is that a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
I'm going band you were in.
Yeah, me too.
Band you were in.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Mary maintains her lead. What about Atomic Wedgie? Or should I say, what about an Atomic Wedgie? What about Atomic Wedgie?
I'm going Lala.
Band you were in.
I'm going to go Lala.
It's a band I was in. We have a three-way tie at the top.
I did that on purpose.
Here we go.
What a comeback by Steve Bertrand. I mean, it really is incredible. They'll be talking about this for years to come. All right, for the win, or potentially the tie, No Habla Inglés. So the band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
Band you were in.
I'm going to say Lollapalooza.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Someone's going to win.
Lala.
Andy, you're a winner.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Never trust
Don't
him
call
again.
It a comeback.
What has he won?
He's won absolutely nothing.
Wow, yes. Great job, buddy.
Just like the last time I won.
All right.
And you get the rare sitting ovation.
Oh, I love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Clapping was annoying.
And Michael Heidemann, who you're recommending at Lala if we're in fact going to Lala? And by the way, when I say we, I mean everyone but me.
There's a lot of great acts. I mentioned the Strokes that were playing last night, but you can go and see Donald Glover tonight as Childish Gambino. Obviously, Ariana Grande is a huge headliner there, but under the radar bands, Lauren Daigle, a Christian artist who performed yesterday. I hope you went out and checked her out. Tierra Whack, a great rapper, and the Revivalists, a great New Orleans 8-piece band, are going to be playing there as well. So go and check them out.
And who's the biggest act this weekend?
I'd say Ariana Grande.
Sunday night?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, she's on Sunday.
Okay.
I second that emotion.
You're a big Ariana Grande fan?
Oh, yeah. One of my faves. Absolutely.
Anybody got big plans for the weekend before we turn it over to Bill and Wendy? Anybody do anything cool other than Mr. Lollapalooza over there?
I'm going to Wisconsin.
You going to see the kiddos?
No. Just up to our cabin. Yeah.
Okay. Andy, you got baseball?
I'll do some baseball, yeah.
Yeah, White Sox where?
White Sox are in Philadelphia.
Okay.
3-game series.
I'm going to listen to Andy do the White Sox Philadelphia pregame.
Nice. Thanks, so Steve. It's going to be a big weekend, is what you're saying.
Huge.
How about you, Steve? What are you doing this weekend?
Steve.
I have a big golf tournament that I plan on choking in starting tomorrow morning around 7:30.
Well, with that attitude, that's going to be pretty easy.
It's the right attitude to have on the first tee. Oh, I'm going to suck today. And obviously, waiting for the call that I'm desperately needed to pay attention to my two.
Yes, that Abigail needs you.
Abigail, yes. And Isaac.
Got to go hang with her, too.
I thought about, with all the attention that Isaac's going to need, I could scoop up Abigail and say, your parents were never that fond of you. They like him better. You know, really milk it. So, anyway, thank you, everybody. Thanks for another great week. We appreciate it. We'll be back here on Monday, coming up live from the McHenry County Fair. You only need to tell me three times.